Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up. You make a dead man come. 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 You make a dead man come.
Quality News Network at the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, up to 130 people, mostly educators, were kidnapped from a government research institute today by armed men wearing police uniforms. Five senior Iraqi officers, including the police brigade commander and police chief, are implicated in the kidnapping and face discipline charges. The organized raid with up to 80 gunmen took place across the highly fortified Green Zone. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 82 people were killed or found dead today. British Prime Minister Tony Blair spoke with members of the Iraq study group today via video link. The bipartisan group met with President Bush yesterday to discuss how to deal with the situation in Iraq. It will present its findings sometime after Thanksgiving. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe told the Washington Post he will push for a redraft of Japan's pacifist constitution, which went into effect after World War II and placed strong limits on Japan's right to use military force. In Gaza, Hamas indicated the new Palestinian unity government would not recognize Israel's right to exist or accept a two-party solution to the Middle East situation. This position hurts the chances of easing the 8-month Western economic boycott. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said his country's nuclear program is nearly completed and Iran would soon celebrate. The International Nuclear Watchdog Agency has found traces of highly enriched uranium waste and unexplained plutonium in Iran. The IAEA report confirms that the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the United Nations Security Council. 1 week after the midterm elections, Senate Democrats have chosen their new party leaders. Nevada Senator Harry Reid will be the new majority leader of the 110th Congress. The number two position, Majority Whip, will go to Illinois Senator Richard Durbin. The newly elected lawmakers, 40 Democrats and 11 Republicans, who will be part of the new Congress, are going through freshman orientation at the Capitol. They are learning about traditions and protocol, as well as emergency safety procedures. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has filed papers for a 2008 presidential run. The South African Parliament approved the civil union bill, which recognizes gay marriages. And President Bush leaves for an 8-day trip to Asia later today. It will include his first ever visit to Vietnam, which will host the Pacific Rim Economic Summit. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Researchers say young women who eat red meat could be putting themselves at risk for breast cancer. They say that red meat may increase the amount of cancer-related hormones circulated in their bodies. The CEOs of the big three automakers met with President Bush at the White House today. Among the topics they discussed, the rising costs of health care and commodities such as steel. The Labor Department reported that wholesale inflation plunged in October due to large declines in the price of gasoline and new cars. Also, for the second month in a row, the Commerce Department reported retail sales fell, also partly due to drops in the price of gasoline. Walmart reported a better-than-expected increase in quarterly profit of 11%. The world's largest retailer is counting on deep discounts to push holiday sales. Rival Target beat analysts' expectations with a 16% gain in third-quarter profit. The two retailers are expected to be in a price war this holiday season. The Wall Street Journal reports that Timberland, the rugged bootmaker, may plan to sell itself. The company is estimated to be worth $2 billion. And Forbes magazine lists the most dangerous jobs for Americans. They include commercial fishermen, truckers, farmers, and ranchers. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.45 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow reached a new record high, up 86 points to close at 12,218. NASDAQ up 24, S&P 500 up 9. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Ask anybody. I am not a vain man. I am not an egomaniac. I don't preen in the mirror and primp and, you know, and I've got Albert Einstein hair that just flies all over creation. But I'm going to just sort of close the door on the studio and just not open it again. I'm going to live here. I ain't going anywhere anymore. Hand me that receipt, Agnes, please. I just got back from our local crude food grocery store. Agnes is not feeling so well, and she was in need of coffee and other things that would give her caffeine. And let's see, grandfather wanted eggnog. I got some really lousy mashed potatoes and gravy. Milk. Coffee, half and half. Got Agnes some white tea as well. We received a very kind and generous gift of tea in the mail, and she's off and running on a tea cake. And I'm walking out of the grocery store, and I fully recognize that I have a little bit of obsessive compulsive disorder. So, you know, I try to deal with it. But, you know, one of those things is that I always look at the receipt. Grocery store receipt. Because, you know, I don't trust them newfangled bar scanner thingies, and I think they're probably ripping me off. I think the codeine's kicking in on Agnes. But I'm looking at my receipt, and like I said, eggnog, deli hot food, milk, Colombian Supreme, coffee, damn it. And I get down there, subtotal, and then this. 5% senior discount. That's right. I look so worn out, worn down. So white-headed, bleary-eyed, generally rode hard and put up wet, that I just went to the grocery store at the tender age of 43 and got the senior discount. You remember Land of the Lost? I'm living in World of the Weird.
Do you need your geritol now or
shut
later,
up.
Dear?
Shut up. Shut up. Shutting up. I mean, I hope I live someday to be a senior citizen. Kind of looking forward to it. But I'm 43. All right, soon to be 44. And I just got the senior discount. And you know, it's not like these things happen in a vacuum. And like I said, I do recognize that there's a little bit of obsessive compulsive to me, so I went down to the pharmacy to pick up Agnes's codeine.
And Benergan. It's
not just whatever it is, it's something to give you some rest, pneumonia Nancy. And I'm walking into the store, and I hear some yokel up the road blowing on his horn. And I hear, bap, battle-it, that, on the horn, you know, beep, 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 beep. Step one, take another step, stop, wait, turn. Beep, beep! Come on! You can't do shaving a haircut and not do the next two beeps! Funny day. And of course it you know, these days happen for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, and I don't know who the person is, who person, thing, being, creature, all sublime ruler of the universe thingy, whatever, who dreams this stuff up. But I'm beginning to think that I'm really going to enjoy seeing the new Will Ferrell film. Will Ferrell, Emma Thompson, called Stranger Than Fiction. The guy who slowly finds out that he's actually not a real person, but a subject of a novel. Because he begins to hear his own internal narration. I got up today and I found out that bear in mind, this is not the real anthrax killer, the real conservative, the real right-wing Republican who slaughtered people in Florida and mailed real live honest to God anthrax to Peter Jennings and stuff like, and Tom Daschle, don't forget Tom Daschle. Not that guy. But the guy who probably was the person who mailed the anthrax, the fake anthrax, it was like boric acid or baking soda or something like that, mailed the fake anthrax to, among others, Keith Olbermann, has been taken down. And are you familiar with this? Have you seen this yet? I was a little late coming to it. I apologize. But he's a freeper. No kidding. We talk about these things, and you understand, and I understand, and we all understand, but, you know, mainstream America doesn't understand, so we're still waiting to see when people will sober up and wake up and realize that these right-wing freaks are genuinely dangerous. It's a freeper. John Castagana, who posts, I'm trying to think what the name is. Not John. Chad Castagana was arrested. Had a search warrant executed on the place where he lives. He's 39 years old, lives in Woodland Hills, California, with his parents. Yeah, no kidding. And you know, I looked around a little bit and I found a website called Radar. Am I a little bit late to the party on this one too? This guy, found out what, and you know, you can just Google Chad Castagana, C-A-S-T-A-G-A-N-A, and you'll find out more than you ever wanted to know. Now, this is the fun part, though. I have to replicate the, because I had it on the other computer, and it was another one of those stupid websites that won't print. But it was all let me see if I can just find this for a second. Bear with me. Sorry, I hate to do this. But daggummit, here. Agnes, let me see the website. It's on your monitor. Right here. Yeah, we've got this site, Radar, radaronline.com, has excerpts. God, you love that. Yeah, these are truly dangerous, sick, twisted people. First of all, according to the FBI affidavit, and there is a copy at this website, radaronline.com/exclusive/2006, yada yada. He sent these fake anthrax letters. Well, according to the affidavit, Castagana, an average-looking 39-year-old white guy, I guess that means that he doesn't get the senior discount at his local crude food like I do. He's only 4 years younger, you know. Not that old. An average-looking 39-year-old white guy who lives with his parents in Woodland Hills attempted to send 13 fake anthrax letters to the aforementioned victims, namely Keith Olbermann, John Stewart, Sumner Redstone, David Letterman, and Charles Schumer, starting in September. Now, he screwed up the first letter. This is so... You're going to love this. This is so freeper. He screwed up the first letter. He sent it to John Stewart with a message that said, "Do you know Alan Berg? You should. Death to demagogues," with a white powder in the envelope. And this was John Stewart, you know, because God knows in Chad Castagana freeper world, there's only one John Stewart in North not in North America, but in New York City. There's only one John Stewart. I mean, there's 11 million people in New York City or whatever, but only one John Stewart. So this one he sent to a guy who's John Stewart, who lives on the Upper West Side, and referenced a Jewish talk show host named Alan Berg, who was gunned down by white supremacist, the racist thugs, in Denver some several years ago. But, you know, he wanted to make sure he was going to get it right, so he also sent it to backup letters to Stewart's office at Comedy Central and his other real home address. The return addresses on the envelopes, oh, you're going to love this. This is just precious. I could, honest to God, this is the kind of right-wing craziness you can't make up. The return addresses came from such left-wing luminaries as Norman Lear and Susan Estrich and, wait for it, William Shatner. I mean, This is the physical mail equivalent of spam, isn't it? I get email from all kinds of weird names, and they're not listeners. I mean, you know, because the subject line says "Memo 41 Viagra," and I know how you smart alecks are. Do not start sending sending me emails. You know, that says, "Hey, Bob," and because I know your email addresses, okay? I mean, I recognize them by now. Don't put Memo 41 Viagra on it just to torment me, okay? Remember, this is the guy who stands on the sidewalk and screams back, beep, beep, over people who do shaving a haircut and don't do the two bits part. What is it, Agnes? Yeah, let's see. What were some of the messages? That this, you know, this they ought to just shut Free Republic down. I mean, it's a terrorist organization. You know, granted the fact that, you know, they don't want to, you know, they want to let, well, They think it's funny when you try to kill people who don't think like they do. See, to Keith Olbermann, he wrote, "There are too many demagogues in America. All of you are poisoning the well. Time to give you a taste of your own medicine." David Letterman, "More than one way to frag a demagogue. Your kind are the real poisoned." Yeah, I'm real torn about what the reporting what he wrote to Nancy Pelosi. Let's say I'll leave this to your imagination. He said, "Runt face, impeach this." To Sumner Redstone, he said, "Pluck you, Mr. Monopolist." Now, you gotta, but the best part of all, dadgummit, this is getting highly frustrating. I gotta get this. Hang on a minute.
I think what I like most is that he's 39 years old and living with his parents.
Oh, yeah, and I remember the day that Flush Flimball, I was driving along, and he was, "My friends, there is a problem in America. We have far too many 30-somethings who still live with their parents. And this is the function, my friends, of liberalism."
I don't think this guy's a liberal.
Well,
I think he's mentally deranged.
Okay, let me... Yes, dear, what?
They're imploding on themselves. Remember after the election and supposedly George Bush won? Well, I mean, I know he did. This guy sends a $15 money order to Catherine Harris.
Oh, yeah, this is really the best part. Part of the reason the FBI was able to track this little punk down, he bought his mailers for his anthrax letters at the same post office at the same time that he bought a $15 money order to send to Catherine Harris, whom he posted on Free Republic as being a really classy lady. A really classy lady. Chad Castagana, our, what shall we call him? We'll call him our right-wing Republican freak of the day. But the best part is the search warrant affidavit, which is included in this thing at radaronline.com. And the name of the article is "The Castagana Correspondence." Write what you know, R-I-G-H-T. The Radar Online notes that calls to the campaign office of Harris, who lost her bid for Senate last week, went unreturned. But it's in the items to be seized part. This is the list, I mean, this is where the FBI, this, you know, items to be seized in the search warrant affidavit. Ready post document mailers that are approximately 6 inches by 9 inches in size, with or without writing on them, addressed or partially addressed, outgoing or returned mailings, postage stamps to include Circus Wagon 1900s 5-cent stamps and Navajo Jewelry 2-cent stamps, receipts showing transactions conducted at post offices, handwritten documents, notes, journals, papers, and records. Blue, 39 years old, lives at home with his mother and dad, and apparently is in possession of a blue ink-stamped depiction of a kangaroo. Domestic money orders or receipts. Documents, books, or correspondence referencing tsunami victims with priapism, because the note that he sent to David Letterman had a dead tsunami victim who had a post-mortem erection. Classy people, these right-wingers. Newspaper clippings, pictures, correspondence, and collages of pictures and clippings related to John Stewart, Keith Olbermann, David Letterman, Bob Woodward, Sumner Redstone, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, and Senator Charles Schumer. telephone books, publications, and documents listing addresses, latex type or synthetic surgical gloves, journals, diaries, notebooks, notes, records, and papers regarding mailings, information regarding specific targets of mailings, blue T-shirt and blue jeans, paperwork and documents relating to A. Finkelstein, North Hollywood, California. Oh, my God. Some of the other stuff they're looking for, baking soda, borax, paper including plain white and colored brown, addresses specific to victims, literature regarding Kathleen Harris, anti-Semitic literature and or, now this is what I was getting at. This is letter U on the affidavit list. Anti-Semitic literature and or left-wing hate rhetoric. God, even the FBI is biased. How long will it be before Fox News gets hold of this and says, FBI searches for left-wing hate rhetoric in fake anthrax mailer? You see what I'm saying? Anti-Semitic literature and or left-wing hate rhetoric. This is a pretty well put together affidavit, but... Mary P. Hogan, FBI agent, needs to be informed that Chad Castagana is a member of Free Republic, which is a right-wing site. Oh, you know, I can, and the sad thing is, I can see the defense coming up now. Agent Hogan, you were looking for left-wing material in my client's home. You found no left-wing material. Is that correct?
Well, yes.
And you actually found right-wing material, is that correct?
Well, yes.
So you were looking for a left-winger. You thought a left-winger was the person who...
Well, yes.
Obviously, my client is not a left-winger, is that correct?
Yes.
So you got the wrong person, didn't you? No further questions, Your Honor. Lord. But, you know, that's not all. Like I said, we're in the world of the weird. Of course, one of the chief inhabitants of the world of the weird is the number three talker on terrestrial radio in America today, namely Michael the Savage Wiener. And there's just some stuff out there that you don't want to miss, and this is one of them. This is yesterday. Now, I mean, these people are absolutely coming unglued at the very seams. Right-wing freak, hate freak, Michael Savage. You know, he has this persistent, and I would suggest, latency hang-up with gay people. And yesterday was the 13th, yes it was. You know, while at literally the same time that we were having a conversation with a noted medical specialist on behavioral medicine, Richard P. Sloan, author of Blind Faith, The Unholy Alliance of Religion and Medicine, where we were talking about how dangerous it can be when faith-based crap gets mixed up in honest science, and the threat that poses to people seeking medical treatment in this broken medical system in the United States. The same time I was doing that, you know what Michael the Savage Wiener was doing? The Savage Wiener, who once, who in his misspent youth, so to speak, hung out naked in hot tubs with Allen Ginsberg and sent him postcards saying that he wanted to take pictures of his behind. Really? He was ranting about the homosexuals. Yes, yes, yes. He's decided that there's a homosexual mafia. I guess I guess he's seen some big pink Cadillacs going around the Bay Area, and dude, that's Mary Kay. But so Michael Savage apparently he's still not getting treatment, and this is the latest proof thereof.
And I want to tell you something. And I'm going to say it to you loud and clear. The radical homosexual agenda will not stop until religion is outlawed in this country. Make no mistake about it. They're all not nice decorators. You better get it through your head before it's too late.
Decorators?
They threaten your very survival. They went after the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is now caving into the homosexual mafia. They will not stop until they force their agenda down your throats. Gay marriage is just the tip of the iceberg. They want full and total subjugation of this society to their agenda. Now, if you want that, and if you don't think it's a threat, believe me, that is what's going to occur in this country.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
Now, see, we're back to it again.
Crazy for feeling.
What is the homosexual agenda? They're going to cram their homosexual agenda down their throat, down your throat. My God. Does he realize the double entendre and the latency that's just leaping out of the speakers every time he opens his mouth? What is the homosexual agenda? Does it mean that we're all going to dress a little bit more fashionably? That the colors are going to coordinate? That there will be, well, I don't know, I can't say that. That there will be no more velvet dogs playing poker paintings inside the day? I don't get it. They're not all nice decorators. No, some of them are really catty right-wing talk hosts. We know what kind of a closet right-wingers like Savage live in. But that's where we are. Jump into the program. We've got 2.5 hours of fun ahead of us. Phone number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Sing it, Patsy.
Thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends.
She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Safely, us donkeys can sleep with faux poison anthrax sending freeper right wingers out there. And, you know, goobers like Michael Savage. And I love that line. They're not all nice decorators. You better get it through your head before it's too late. They threaten your very survival. They went after the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is now caving into the homosexual mafia. Dude, those are Mary Kay sales ladies, okay? Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Well, welcome to Red Hot Ramble, what you mean. God. My Lord, I don't know where to start. I'll start with my first job outside the government. This is the reason I went back into the government. But I taught school, and I had a principal named Mr. Smith,
mm-hmm.
who was just this flaming queen in the closet. He was married. And this was back when women started wearing pantsuits.
Mm-hmm.
He made the announcement in the office one day. He said, all these women are wearing pants. I'm going to go home and put on my dress. And this guidance counselor, who was my hometown, she was pretty worldly-wise. She said, mm-hmm, and I bet you got a whole closet up in there, too.
Yeah, don't forget to bring the tiara.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Michael Savage is a mean faggot, okay? He really is.
I'm coming to that conclusion.
I mean, he's basically, what he wants shoved out of his throat or in his rear end, we can't talk about on the air.
I think you just did.
And, you know, well, that's it, you know, and it's...
These people
are frustrated, and they are extremely hateful about their own sexual predilections, and they want to persecute other people who are gay, and it's a real shame.
Well, it's pathetic, but, you know, I have a hard time working up a real good pity party for Michael the Savage Wiener, because, after all, he's a millionaire. He makes beaucoup d'argent.
I have no doubt that maybe he'll pick up some rough trade one night and they'll take care of him. You know how karma is, Bob.
Well, yeah,
probably is the kind who prowls looking for rough trade at night and wants to be humiliated and gagged, and maybe some guy wearing black chaps and a Cadillac Stetson. You know these people.
Oh yeah, and the thing is, I mean, there is background to support this stuff. It is, I believe, Stanford University that has the Allen Ginsberg correspondence collection.
And he wanted to take photos of Allen Ginsberg's anus.
He said he wanted to. If you go and you look at this collection online, I think it's at I Hate Michael Savage or MichaelSavageSucks.com or something like that. I mean, this is somebody who loathes him as much as we do. He has reproduced the postcard on his website. And it is a postcard from Michael to, then he was just Michael Weiner. But he wrote to Allen Ginsberg saying that he was in Fiji and that the natives made him want, looking at the natives made him want to put his camera up Allen Ginsberg's behind.
Well, my God, he preceded Robert Mapplethorpe.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim.
I mean, he's just a man so ahead of his time. Have you ever seen Ian Mapplethorpe's coffee table books?
No, I've only seen the stuff that that generated such hell and damnation in the American media when the right-wing religion industry people lost their minds.
Well, they have every right, because some of that stuff was just pretty raunchy.
But it was done that way for a reason.
I know.
You know, you and I both know that artists don't just do things.
Well, the band, in many ways, had certain talents, but they were, shall we say, went into the exotic and the bizarre. And I'll just leave it at that for the sake of a conversation tonight.
Yeah.
But your Patsy Cline record reminded me of something.
What's that?
You've never lived until you've gone into a gay country or western bar, where you have, when the drag queens do, swimsuit competition, sportswear, and formal wear. And you've got these construction worker types who look like they've just, you know, come out of a gym, except they think they really look like women, and they're wearing these dresses and outfits, and I swear to God, it is the damnedest thing you've ever seen in your life. If you dare not laugh, you get your ass beat.
I will take your word for it, Jim.
Go to the Connection in Johnson City, Tennessee.
No.
You need to do it.
No, I absolutely
will not. What's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Because I would smirk or I would giggle and I would get my ass kicked from here to next week.
Well, I didn't, and they left me alone. But I'll tell you one thing, it's just a sight to behold. But I mean, it's just a whole other world. And these people, basically, they're not hurting anybody.
No.
They're giving the local economy a lot, and the dressmakers a lot of business.
Well, you know what I got to ask, and it's all part of one thing, Jim. What I'd like to ask the likes of Michael Savage is, people get killed over the incitement to hate that he does. Does he realize this? Does he take any sort of personal responsibility for it? And of course he doesn't.
Well, that's the reason. One day he's going to pick up some rough trade in East and West Hollywood, and you know he's going to be the subject of his own little snuff film. I'll guarantee you.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I used to.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to find that he had been, you know, the victim of some type of ritualized killing or something like that, or S&M type.
Well, does
thing.
This
he's into that.
Jim? Does this fool not understand that it's now been proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the entire Republican Party is just one big closet?
Well, I don't know, but he doesn't care. That probably makes him happy because, I mean, I hear from everybody from Melbourne on down is a friend of Dorothy's. I don't know. I tell you, I just try to keep away from people like that. Mama told me never go to ride with them, and I know I don't even to this day.
Well, Mama was right.
Let me tell you something that happened on the radio this morning.
All right.
Well, you know, our friend Stevie Pooh was getting on the subject of, in his case, we won't call it economics, we'll call it economics.
Emphasis on the wrong syllable?
Well, you know, you'd think to hear him talk, but he was a combination of Lord Maynard Keynes and John Kenneth Galbraith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And our good friend Wayne called him and just asked him, and he said, can you please tell me why all the Republican signs are filled up? And why they haven't been taken down. All Democratic ones are. And O'Brien went nuts.
Went?
He went.
Short trip.
He just exploded and started. He said, why are you departing from my subject? And, of course, the caller said, well, you know, I thought this was an open program in which we could discuss different topics. And, you know, he was perfectly, you know, had a legitimate question, and he started raising his voice, and then he got to the end of his break, and he just raised his voice and hung up on the guy. Well, the trouble is, his phone has a redial or a reconnect component in it. And when he came back on the line, he called this guy back. Steve did, the one he had hung up on, our friend Wayne.
No, no.
Oh. If Wayne calls in tonight, he'll tell you the straight of it. But I mean, Wayne completely derailed his entire train, and when he called Wayne back, and Wayne just picked up the phone, the caboose went too.
God.
I hope the gals and, well, I hope some, I know some girls who have to tape record that idiot's program off the radio every morning for their boss, and I hope they got a good tape of this. Lord have mercy.
Oh, if you know these people, please, I want the audio. I would love to share the idiocy that is, you know, small time local small market right wing palaver with a global audience.
Well, the first time in his radio experience, he called somebody inadvertently, or the phone line switched in and did a redial.
That's just bizarre.
And he had slammed his phone down on the guy. When he did, instead of disconnecting the call, it automatically reconnected, except it went the other way. It was just absolutely hysterical.
I wasn't done screaming.
Well, he didn't know what to say when he still had the guy on the line. It was all lies. So, I mean, it was too much. But going back to your original subject of all these people and what's going on, I'll bet this is going to happen in Washington. This is a departure from the gay end of it. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't give a damn. But I'll bet they're having shredding parties in these offices all over D.C. that would make what happened to the Japanese embassy after Pearl Harbor look like a Easter pageant. Because remember, the Japs were burning all their papers.
Oh, yeah.
Had these incendiary boxes where they'd light a fuse and blow up. I'll bet they've got shredders that are probably...
Well, you know the story that that came out a couple of weeks ago, an intrepid blogger actually photographed a great big truck. It was like Greater DC Shredding Services. I mean, you know, plastered across the side of the truck, pulling into the vice president's residence.
Well, you know they are.
Well, I mean, I'm not making this up.
That's the reason I brought it up, because you know they're shredding papers like crazy, and they realize that they're going to have to just clean up as much as they can, and they're burning everything, and pretty soon they're going to be burning each other.
They're just absolutely convinced the barbarians, that would be us, are at the gates, aren't they?
Well, they may be right, because I'm sort of in the mood for a little. You know, I'm hunting bar. I'm not hunting pink flamingos. I'm hunting bar.
You're going to get you on them bars.
That's what I want to see happen. Like I told Bruce last night, there needs to be two things, accountability and there needs to be atonement.
Yeah, some level of reconciliation.
No, I mean atonement.
Oh, you want them to do the atoning.
Exactly.
Sackcloth and ashes.
No. I told you what I think should happen, and I think this is going to have to happen before this country can begin its process of recovery.
Well, I constantly am reminded of like the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commissions.
I just don't think there can be any real reconciliation with these people, because I think they're going to try to hose us. And,
well, there is an element of this country that doesn't want to reconcile. They don't.
Well, they find their interest.
They don't think they're beaten. I mean, it is worth remembering. That as we look at this victory, this profound victory that took place, lo, yea, verily, only 7 days ago, there are some things that didn't change. In 2004, 72% of right-wing evangelicals went out and voted for George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This past Tuesday, 71% went out and voted for George Bush. They didn't abandon him. Okay, there's a reason that Senator Mel Martinez, right-wing Republican thug senator from Florida, is going to be taken over for Chinless Ken Melman at the RNC. The big difference in this election cycle, they profoundly lost the Hispanic vote. So they're thinking that because Martinez's last name is Martinez, Hispanic voters will come back to the fold.
I don't think that's going to work.
It's not. And that's the thing these morons don't understand. It's not the personalities, it's the policies.
Well, you know, the more asymmetrical their behavior is and the more bizarre it becomes, and it will become very asymmetrical and very bizarre, because they are, by nature, asymmetrical and they are bizarre. Think about them. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, all of them are just, I hate to say this, they are not exactly what I would call, well, they would not do well on the Rorschach test, okay?
Yeah.
And I think when they're pressured and their little things become, you know, when that exterior becomes a little frazzled, their true faces come out, and, you know, I think half of them are nuts, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think it's probably more than half of it. What do you say? When you've got volumes of evidence that says Saddam Hussein was no threat, and you've got a Secretary of State like Colin Powell who in Egypt says, you know, Saddam Hussein cannot threaten his neighbors, and you got Condi Rice saying Saddam Hussein cannot threaten his neighbors, he's not a threat, we've got him in a box, and then you turn around and say he's got a nuclear program and we need to take him out. That's crazy talk.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and these people are now being cornered. And I don't care how much shredding they do and how much destruction of papers and stuff, there's already too much out there in the hands of people already who have been given copies, I'm sure, to ensure that there's going to be a lot of questions being asked that are going to be very embarrassing.
Well, and bear in mind,
indictments, I hope.
These creepy, I said it last night, and I'm going to stand pat on my assertion until I'm proven wrong. These people are not going to go away, and they're not going to look up and say, well, we were wrong, and the Americans have rejected our loser policies. They're not going to do that, because these 72-71% of evangelicals, for instance, you know, they're convinced that, you know, if they just, you know, it's Tinkerbellism. If they pray a little harder, Tinkerbell won't die. If they pray a little harder, Jesus will come back. If they pray a little harder, then we'll have an American theocracy. If they pray a little harder, than doctors will have, you know, it's like the conversation we had with Dr. Sloan last night.
It's not going to work that way.
But Jim, you're rational. I'm rational.
It's not going to work that way.
It's not going to work that way, but that's not going to slow these people down because they are irrational.
Well, you know, they can do what they want to do, and let them do it, but let them try, and I think they will find out that basically that their levels of success will become much lower, and pretty soon they're going to have to retreat. I mean, this Christian coalition started. They started this thing back with Ralph Reed back in 1990.
And yeah, thereabouts.
It's been building.
Well, Ralph Reed was an outgrowth, you know, sort of a cancerous little thing. Ralph Reed's operation was an outgrowth of Pat Robertson's or Jerry Falwell.
That's right.
It was the Moral Majority that turned into the Christian coalition,
exactly.
I think.
And, you know, these people are trying to impose their views and systems of belief on other people, and now they're having some of their fellow travelers being amassed for what they are, and it doesn't make them look real good, and it's very confusing to them, and I don't think that they're going to have the force that they did have at one time. I think that their force is beginning to wane, and it will retreat. I mean, you know, we've had an ebb and flow of this type of situation for years, have we not?
To a certain extent, but I don't think the tide has ever risen to where it is now, at least not in the last 150 years. There was a huge resurgence of it long about the Franklin Pierce administration, was it? Or,
I don't know. I mean, they had the Great
maybe,
Awakening.
Maybe it was Martin Van Buren.
Well, they had the Great Awakening, that type of thing. And the, you know, they had a lot of spiritualism and a lot of revivals and things in parts of America, and up in this neck of the woods, really. And
one of my forebears was one of the great circuit riders of this neck of the western part of Virginia. So,
well, but you know, that was a reaction to a lot of the bad stuff that was going on. Maybe
that man could smell chicken frying from 200 miles.
Well, I'm sure they could. He was an itinerant parson.
He was a circuit rider.
An itinerant parson, then. By circuit rider, what do you mean? He went from church to church.
Yeah, he had a whole bunch of churches, and he would appear in, you know, on like a 3-month cycle. He'd preach in church, you know, and bubble, you know, from church to church to church to church, all over Western Virginia.
And they were all hellfire and damnation.
Oh, you better believe it.
And so they would scare the very pants off everybody, and so like Jonathan, was it Jonathan Edwards?
I guess you
could. In the hands of an angry God.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably internet data on him. You can look him up. His name's Sam Black. In fact, Sam Black Church, West Virginia, is the only only postal zip code that doesn't have a town or an unincorporated anything around it. It's just a church, and it's a zip code.
That's it?
Yeah, Sam Black Church. It's down around the Fayette-Greenbrier County line.
And these are some of your forebears?
Yeah, direct forebear, yeah.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you have a claim to a certain amount of fame there. That's good. But I still think you and Agnes, if y'all ever get out of Johnson City, y'all to go in and take a look and see some of these things. You'd have a good time.
Oh, I know I would. And, you know,
you know,
it's
why
one
not?
Of, well, you know, among other things, a lot of towns or a lot of cities, if you want to take your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, out dancing, that's your best bet.
Look, the girls who work where I live, they used to, you know, when they didn't go out with their husband, they get together and they go to the local one here, and it's the best music, and you know, they get tips on their makeup and all this kind of stuff. That's what they told me.
Oh, I said, my God,
they know more stuff about that than we ever think about doing. Talk about
men. Well, I guess it's harder work in a way.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, listen, like I say, these people basically are just looking to have a good time and be left alone. But you've got some of these meaner elements who are these damn closet queens who won't admit that they're gay and they're mad at the world because they are. And so they want to dump on everybody else who is and the rest of those who ain't. And that's the kind of mean people they are.
Well, there's a...
Like J. Edgar Hoover.
Well, yeah.
You know, that type.
Yeah, was he buried in drag? I can't remember.
No, but they did bury him in a lead coffin when his body was in the rotunda of the Capitol. 8 servicemen had to carry it out, 6 of whom had to take it to Walter Reed because they had ruptures.
Why lead?
I don't know.
I mean, was...
Maybe he was afraid of being atomized, but, you know, he was buried in a solid lead casket, and he's in Congressional Cemetery because I've known people who peed on his grave. And that used to be a ritual in D.C. I never got...
Jim, you are a fount of information. You know that?
Well, you know, I've been around...
I'm not being denigrating. You always bring something. The last thing in the world I would have expected, but yeah.
Well, it's like Mae West once said, Bob. So, you know, some people have been things and seen places. I've been places and seen things.
And all guys chilling said amen.
And I've done, you know... I lived a pretty full life in my 61 years, and, you know, I have seen a lot of things and different cities on both sides of the pond and the other pond, too. And it's a, you know, it's an interesting world. But I'll tell you,
it is indeed.
These people that you've been talking about, I would just assume the world be rid of them. Be honest with you.
I would too, but you know, I think it is important that we discuss them because normal people have got to understand that this level of hate is out there, this level of vitriol, this level of danger. Because you know, the day may come when gay people aren't the flavor of the week anymore.
Well, that's
and then it's, you know, generally liberal, or maybe it's just being a Democrat. I mean, look what this creep from Woodland Hills, California, allegedly did. You know, I mean, that's the very definition of terror. He wasn't trying to physically. Well, he mailed these envelopes full of an inert white powder that was supposed, you know, to fake an anthrax attack. And he mailed them to Letterman, and he mailed them to Sumner Redstone, and he mailed them to Keith Olbermann, and John Stewart, and Nancy Pelosi, and Charles Schumer. And this is a regular poster over at FreeRepublic.com. You know, we call them Freepers. These ultra uber right wing last hardcore knot of Bush supporters.
You know, I used to know some people for kicks who would mail people samples of their pubic hair, but this is ridiculous.
It is, and it's...
They ought to try that and see what they thought about that. I think that's what they ought to do.
I don't know. Yeah, but the thing is, there's nothing terrifying in that. They want they intend to incite terror in people that they perceive to be lefties or commies or liberals. Our side wants to have a discussion. Our side wants to have a debate. We want to reach consensus. We want to find, you know, the best way forward. They want to threaten people and make them think they're going to die.
You can't discuss anything with these people. You can't have any type of consensus with them. There can be no compromise with them because they don't want to.
Well, and that, you know, that brings up a larger question, Jim, and we're running out of time, but it's something to think about. Maybe we should discuss it on another evening. What are we going to do when the new Congress convenes? And because you and I both know it's going to happen. We're going to see it. It's already been intimated by the leadership that there's going to be a reaching out across the aisle.
I think that that spirit of rapprochement will begin to dwindle, and I think eventually it's going to be pretty much the Berlin Wall type situation.
You know, do we run roughshod over the minorities' rights like they did over ours? No. I bet you we don't.
But in order to deal with them, you know, it's going to have to be unpleasant, in my opinion. Now, I may be wrong, but, you know, as Bruce Burke said last night, this thing will begin as a very small thing, but it will grow on our side. Because we will begin to realize that these guys had no intentions of trying to right their wrongs or admit that they were wrong or to compromise. And when you when I'm confronted with somebody like that, and I try to deal with them every way I can, well, you know what I end up doing?
What's that?
Kicking his ass.
Well, yeah. And hopefully that...
Right down the street. I mean, you know, once I've reached the end of my rope and I can't deal with anybody else, you know... Kick his ass and do what you do, and open up a can of whoop ass on him. And that's exactly what we're going to end up having to do.
The family size can, Jim. I appreciate all you've brought to the table. Thanks so much, Jim.
I mean, everybody thinks I'm nuts anyway, so I don't give a damn.
Nah, nobody around here.
I can see that chat room now. They said, "What is he on tonight?"
No, they want you in the chat room, Jim. How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm bashful.
Oh, you're as bashful as a 16-pound sledgehammer. Quit that.
I'm demure. I'm from the deep south. We just don't do things that way in the deep south.
Oh, Lordy.
But you checked with Wayne today about that thing with Steve O'Brien. I hope he calls in and gives you the real skinny of it, because he did it, and it was wonderful. And Wayne... My heart goes out to you tonight, buddy, if you're listed.
All right,
Mr. Revich, wherever you are. What was his name? Say Jimmy Durante.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Out here.
Later.
Bye.
And the news is next. God, this is fun. 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, it is being called the most brazen attack since the war began. Up to 100 people, mostly educators, were kidnapped today from a government research institute by armed men wearing police uniforms. There has been a countrywide shutdown of all universities. The police brigade commander of the region, the police chief, and several police officers are implicated in the kidnapping. The highly organized raid with up to 80 gunmen took place across from the fortified coalition Green Zone. Elsewhere in Iraq today, at least 82 people were killed or found dead. In Tehran, Iran's president says his country's nuclear program is nearly completed. He also claimed the international community is caving into Iran's demands, but did not provide details. The UN's nuclear watchdog has found traces of highly enriched uranium and unexplained plutonium in Iran. The report confirms the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the UN Security Council. On Capitol Hill, Senate Democrats have chosen their party leaders. Nevada Senator Harry Reid will be the new majority leader. The number two position, the vote-counting majority whip, will go to Illinois Senator Richard Durbin. Two female senators will hold leadership positions, Washington's Patty Murray and Michigan's Debbie Stabenow. House Democrats will pick their leaders on Thursday. In Germany today, civil rights activists requested prosecutors investigate outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other U.S. officials. They filed suit on behalf of a dozen alleged torture victims. In South Africa, the parliament approved the civil union bill recognizing gay marriages. It is a first for the African continent, where homosexuality is not widely accepted. In San Francisco, gay marriage advocates are taking their case to the California Supreme Court. Last month, an appeals court ruled against same-sex marriage. Those filing suit say the ban is unconstitutional. In Camp Pendleton, the U.S. Marine charged with shooting an Iraqi grandfather 10 times in April pleaded not guilty. Today, the 24-year-old Marine also was arraigned for a separate assault charge in Iraq. 4 other Marines pleaded to lesser charges in the case. President Bush leaves today for an 8-day trip to Asia. It will include his first ever visit to Vietnam, which hosts the Pacific Rim Economic Summit. Discussion topics include trade, terrorism, and the bird flu. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Next month, the European Space Agency will launch the first satellite designed solely to look for new planets beyond our solar system. Kero is a French project. The most important report of its kind is being released this month by top international scientists studying global warming. The report says temperatures in oceans are rising at unprecedented rates and predicts a massive die-out of many species of birds, fish, and animals as a result. The study also proves conclusively human activity is to blame for global warming. The Labor Department reported wholesale inflation plunged in October due to large declines in the price of gasoline and new cars. It was the second big monthly decrease in a row. Also for the second month in a row, the Commerce Department reports retail sales fell, partially due to drops in the price of gasoline. Walmart reported a better-than-expected increase in quarterly profit. The world's largest retailer is counting on deep discounts to push holiday sales. Its rival Target also beat analysts' expectations with a 16% gain in quarterly profit. The two retailers are expected to be in a price war this holiday season, especially over toys and electronics. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.28 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 86 points at 12,218. NASDAQ up 24 at 2430. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? They're unique.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Another hour begins. I'm Bob Kincaid, senior citizen grocery shopper. Oh, Lord. You get to the point where you get the senior discount. By God, you've earned it. I haven't earned it yet. Yeah, very funny sending me graphics of senior citizen grocery shoppers. If the likeness wasn't so damn stunning, I'd be even... you people. An email from our good friend Billy Shears. In reference to the nastiness we discussed in the last hour, these people are pure evil. And a very trenchant observation. What do you expect when before the elections Bush and his ilk pounded the idea that if Democrats are elected, the terrorists win? Well, for a president to state that is so despicable because the 30% or so of his incredibly stupid followers resort to what Chad Castananga did. Chad the moron. Chad, 39 years old, lives with his parents in the basement of the Woodland Hills home and has blue kangaroo stampers. I mean, my kids have stampers, for the love of God. 39. Blue can. Whew. But you see, it's the purpose of those things.
Well, it was harmless. It was only baking soda. It wouldn't have hurt him.
It is the attempt to instill terror. That's real terrorism. Now, on the other hand, there's a bill riding through the Congress, this lame duck session, that will turn people for the ethical treatment of animals into terrorists. Now, bear in mind, I don't share a lot in common with PETA. I'm of the opinion that if God had not meant people to eat meat, eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. And, you know, I think, going and throwing a red bucket of paint on somebody wearing a fur coat is mean and rotten and probably deserved, you know, you know, somebody comes up and throws anything at my wife, I'm just going to stomp the crap out of them and have done with it, and I'm not going to sit there and ask them, are you doing it for the animals? But, you know, but there are, I mean, PETA has legitimate gripes. We learned that the hard way here in West Virginia, a couple of years ago, when they snuck one of their little PETA spies into a chicken processing plant and caught people working in the chicken processing plant torturing chickens. Chickens that were purchased by KFC. Chickens that were purchased by various and sundry different companies. Chickens that found its way to your local meat cooler. And, you know, I don't feel any less liberal because I haven't signed on or sent money to PETA. Because they take some really, really, really bizarre positions. But you know what? I want them to be able to do that because for every bizarre position they take a perfectly rational one, like what they caught these people doing at the chicken processing plants. But these lame duck, held over, not much longer to do their evil deeds, cretins in, cretins in. This lame duck Congress, they'd like to turn PETA into terrorists. How long is it before my friends at Coal River Mountain Watch and Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and the Highlands Conservancy just get de jure defined as terrorists for opposing sleazy bastards like Don Blankenship and his hellish Massey energy operation that destroys homes every blessed day? How long is it before chaining yourself to the gates at the entrance to a mountaintop removal facility? How long is it before that's terrorism? How long? And, you know, meantime, there is still no effort whatsoever to catch the real anthrax killer from the year 2001. There's still no meaningful effort to find that person and put him wherever Ted Kaczynski is. And the Chad Castanagas of the world go on. The envelope doesn't have to have real anthrax in it. It is the possibility that it would. Because no one in their right mind, no one who is prudent, isn't going to go to the hospital and get the full damn workup and get the 2-week supply of Cipro. You remember Cipro, the antibiotic that George Bush and Dick Cheney and the whole Bush administration started taking a couple of weeks before 9/11, before the anthrax attacks. That's Cipro. And we're going to build... Someone has a notion that we're going to build consensus with these freaks, these evil monsters. You cannot build consensus with killers unless you want to become a killer like them. Huh? Sort of makes sense? Yeah? Right. And so that puts me at odds with something I want to share a little bit of with you.
Michael Moore says a lot of really good stuff, and Fahrenheit 9/11 was a brilliant film. I don't care what Bill O'Reilly says. He has written a letter. This is from his website. He's written a letter that's called A Liberal's Pledge to Disheartened Conservatives. And see, I read things like this and I try to bear in mind that I don't, you know, I don't want to be like Michael Savage. Savage Wiener. I don't want to be like that life support system for a haircut, Sean Insanity. The Hannity job. I don't want to be any of those things. I don't want to be so filled with hate and self-loathing that I can't find a reason for my existence on a normal and rational plane and have to resort to eating handfuls of OxyContin like Flush Flimball. I don't want to be any of those things. I don't want to do any of those things. And yet at the same time, there is something inside me that militates against the content of Michael Moore's little letter. He writes, "Dear conservatives and Republicans, I know you are dismayed and disheartened at the results of last week's election. You're worried that the country is heading toward a very bad place you don't want to go. Your 12-year Republican revolution has ended with so much yet to do, so many promises left unfulfilled. You're in a funk, and I understand. Well, cheer up, my friends. Do not despair. I have good news for you. I and the millions of others who are now in charge with our Democratic Congress have a pledge we would like to make to you, a list of promises that we offer you because we value you as our fellow Americans." See, I think we could have a discussion about that. "You deserve to know what we plan to do on our new, with our newfound power, and to be specific, what we will do for to you and for you." Round them up, I say. No, sorry. "Thus, here is our liberals' pledge to disheartened conservatives." Somebody start the string quartet No, I'm kidding. "Dear conservatives and Republicans, I and my fellow signatories hereby make these promises to you. 1, we will always respect you for your conservative beliefs." Problem! I don't respect someone who has conservative beliefs that say that fossils are 3,000 years old, or that chatty water moccasins are the root of all evil in the world today. No. I don't respect Jerry Falwell. I don't respect Pat Robertson. God knows I do not respect anyone like James Dobson who encourages parents to, quote, beat their children until they cry real tears, or tells good Christian conservative daddies to go into the shower and expose their Johnsons to their little boys. No, I don't respect that. I won't respect that. And the day that I do respect that, it's no longer a matter of there being something wrong with the conservatives. At that point in time, by God, there is something wrong with me. "We will never, ever call you unpatriotic simply because you disagree with us." Well, I guess there's a little weasel room in that. Can we call them unpatriotic not because they disagree with us, but because they're unpatriotic? Can we call them unpatriotic because they don't support the troops? Can we call them unpatriotic because they don't support policies that support the working middle class and the working poor in this country that carries them on their backs? Can we call them unpatriotic for that? Can we call them unpatriotic for adhering to politicians and politics and policies that stand abjectly or diametrically opposed to everything that this country is and should be for and about? Can we call them unpatriotic for that? 2, we will let you marry whomever you want, even when some of us consider your behavior to be different or immoral. Who you marry is none of our business. Love and be in love. It's a wonderful gift. Okay, I'm down with that. Unless of course it involves children, and the problem with right-wing religious conservatives is that it frequently does involve children, and I'm not down with that. 3, we will not spend your grandchildren's money on our personal whims or to enrich our friends. It's your checkbook, too, and we will balance it for you. That's a as we like to say around these parts. That's a whole nother thing. See, we keep balancing the checkbook for the conservatives, and then the conservatives come along, say, in 2000 or 1980. You know, the so-called Christians in 1980, as was noted on this program last night, chose Ronald Reagan, a B-C level Hollywood movie creep of little talent and less morals and even less brains, over a Sunday school teacher to be the moral leader of this country.
He's tough on communism, and communism's more important than Jesus. Beating them commies.
So we keep, you know, and so we got 12 years. We got 4 years we got 8 years of Ronnie and 4 years of H.W. And by the time that was all over with, the economy was in a shambles and we were in debt up to our kneecaps. And Bill Clinton came in for 8 years and did some things that I don't like and other things that I did. And managed to balance the books and start creating a surplus. Have we forgotten the surplus? Have we forgotten the money that we had to shore up Social Security and the discussion we had about lockboxes in the 2000 election cycle? Have we forgotten that? Everybody made fun of Al Gore when he said he was going to, you know, I'll create a lockbox and we'll put that money in the lockbox and we won't be able to touch it for anything but Social Security. And that way Social Security will be now and forever solid. Well, of course George Bush was opposed to that. We found out, you know, it was shortly after the November 2004 presidential election. I've got me some political capital and I intend to spend it by killing Social Security. He wasn't interested in a lockbox. There's a reason these people put us in debt up to our eyeballs. If America's in debt up to our eyeballs, it becomes more difficult for America to live up to its own promise. And if America can't live up to its promise, then America can't be the America that so terrifies conservatives. So I'm all for balancing the checkbook again. We'll get somebody in there in 2008 who can start to reverse the financial wreckage, if it can be reversed, that George W. Bush has put us into. How long that will take, I don't know. But after 8 years of President whomever, who, you know, will be a Democrat and hopefully will reelect him then sure as God made little green apples in 2016, maybe it'll be the next generation of Bushes. Maybe it'll be some weird little Republican who's just now getting out of a Harvard MBA program or even worse, the University of Chicago, who will come along and say, conservatism is the way to lead us into the future of the United States by looking backwards. I want to give tax cuts. It's your money. And we'll go through it all over again. So, like I said, I'm all for balancing the checkbook. But until we have destroyed the conservative movement in this country, there's not going to be any point to doing that balance job. Because it gets tiresome. Us, you know what we are? We get treated like the housekeeping staff. We clean the messes, and then the repigs come in and party and spend money like drunken sailors and just have a high old time, and then we come in the next day while they're all laid out, hung over, and vomiting and puking all over themselves, and we clean the mess up, and it gets tiresome. 4. When we soon bring our sons and daughters home from Iraq, we will bring your sons and daughters home too. They deserve to live. We promise never to send your kids off to war based on either a mistake or a lie. I sincerely doubt the number of conservative parents who have children in Iraq. We had a little right-wing freakazoid, 22-year-old so-and-so, that ran for House of Delegates in the 27th District as a Republican. Real Bush supporter he was. He lost, fortunately. But, you know, at 22, 23 years old, 24 years old, he supports the war. Why the hell wasn't he in it? He wasn't in it because, like other Republicans, he's a damn coward. No guts. The guts come from working people's families. The tragedy comes to liberal homes. The tragedy comes to centrist homes, moderate homes. The tragedy seldom comes to conservative homes because conservatives seldom stand up for their country, whether that standing up is right or wrong. Five, when we make America the last Western democracy to have universal health coverage and all Americans are able to get help when they fall ill, we promise that you, too, will be able to see a doctor regardless of your ability to pay. And when stem cell research delivers treatments and cures for diseases that affect you and your loved ones, we'll make sure those advances are available to you and your family, too. Well, you know, under concepts of equal protection and due process in our constitutional framework, we kind of have to. But that's not to say that I think that I will be glad to do it. Providing necessary health care and research to people who don't believe in the science that creates that medical care, I got a problem with it. I know, Agnes, you think I'm being mean. But, you know, ask yourself, should somebody who has stood outside of a school and picketed Darwin's theory of evolution or tried to leverage their Christian principles upon a school board because they're teaching that godless evolution, should that person be allowed to have the next generation flu shot? Virtually all therapies based on antibiotics or antivirals are part and parcel of evolutionary biology, evolutionary microbiology. Now, why should one of those goons have access to health care that comes from the very satanic forces that they say are destroying this country? Do you get my meaning? The list goes on. Even though you have opposed environmental regulation, when we clean up our air and water, we, the Democratic majority, will let you, too, breathe the cleaner air and drink the purer water. See, I'm mean. I said at the top, at the beginning of this, I don't want to be like Flush. I don't want to be like Hannity. I don't want to be like Michael Wiener. But honest to God, it would be one of my fondest hopes to get a great, a good old-fashioned German beer stein full of coal sludge lake goo and watch Don Blankenship drink it. Because he says it does no harm. He says it has no impact on the environment. He says it's no big deal. He says that the mercury that comes back down out of the clouds into our lakes and our rivers and our oceans is of no import. That it has no bearing on the well-being of our children. So if it's that clean, he should be able to consume it, shouldn't he? Should a mass murderer ever kill 3,000 people on our soil, we will devote every single resource to tracking him down and bringing him to justice immediately. We will protect you. Okay, I don't think I've got a lot of issue with that. Even before 9/11 happened, we had ample reason to pursue, and we were pursuing Osama bin Laden. I wish we still were. Unfortunately, there's a man in the White House who says I really don't think that much about him. So, and on, yeah, we'll go over a little bit more of this, but I got people waiting on hold. Let's go to the phones. Ben is joining us from Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob. You know, this kind of is like, we're sorry that we will respect the fact that you're a Nazi and killed 13 million Jews. We will respect your right to believe that all Jews should be killed. That's what this is. This is just appeasement of evil people.
Okay, so I'm not off base on this.
No, totally not off base on it. I don't think we have to work with them. I don't think we have to appease them. I don't think we have to give them another thing. Even if Joe Lieberman decides to be exactly what he is, a complete traitor, and decides to jump ship and join the forces of evil explicitly and openly, I don't think we need to work with these guys, because we can tie up the House of Representatives so that they'll never get another dime appropriated. And we could just let the federal government languish for 2 years, because that's better than the course it's at now.
But, Lord, Ben, when you say that, can't you just hear the what's-his-name, Drum, over at the DLC? Oh, we can't do that because we're going to consolidate our gains in 2008.
You know what? I'd rather consolidate our gains by sending all these guys to camp.
Well, I mean, how...
I am that angry with the kind of evil we are seeing here. They are mass murderers, and they need to be indicted as mass murderers, and tried as mass murderers, and convicted as mass murderers, and sent to jail.
You know, can they not understand, Ben, that this horror that went? I mean, this open, brazen horror that took place today in Iraq.
Who caused that?
That's us.
Those people would all be alive now had we stayed the hell out of there and had chosen to engage Saddam Hussein in an appropriate manner, which would have been to say, no, you're going to do something about your human rights violations, and you're going to do something about this and something about that, and then we will let you sell oil.
No.
And you know what? We could have kept him. He would have hated it. Okay, he always would have cheated on it a little bit, and so, you know, maybe there'd be a few more graves in hidden places. But you know what? The total amount of people...
There wouldn't be 650,000 of them, Ben.
That's right. You know what? We could have kept a bottle on him. The policy of containment that worked so well with the Warsaw Pact would have worked just fine with him.
Sure. And the other thing is this business. This is especially disturbing. What happened? This latest story, because they went into an institute of higher learning.
Oh, they've been going after the intelligentsia now for a long time. I think they killed the dean of Baghdad University about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, and the reason they are doing that, I think, is because they understand that these guys, it's a terrible book, but you've read Atlas Shrugged, right?
Yes.
By not shrugging, by continuing, by the intellectuals, the people who actually can make things happen through thought, by them continuing to breathe life into the facade that there is a legitimate government there, they are contributing to the problem as much as the Iraqi politicians, the oil ministers, and the military, and they're the ones that ought to know better because they're educated.
Well, the other thing is these institutions of higher learning, Ben, present probably the greatest hope also that there may be a way out for the Iraqi people. And
well,
this is, you know, this isn't
presenting that hope because they should be dissidents and they're not.
But this isn't Al-Qaeda doing this, no matter what the White House says.
No, it's not. It's other Iraqis.
These are Iraqi fundamentalists. No different from Pat Robertson or Dobson.
They're not just fundamentalists. I'm absolutely convinced that we've been hoodwinked on that issue, too. I think they are just regular Iraqi folks who think that there's absolutely no hope for them. No hope. No hope to get the random violence to end. No hope to get us out of there. No hope to stop the death squads that Negroponte set up there unless they take action. I'm convinced this is not what we have presented to us. Absolutely fundamentalist against fundamentalist. These are just regular Iraqis because we killed their sister and we killed their mother and we bombed their uncle and aunt into oblivion, and they are finally fed up with us being there.
Well, there has got to be an element of that as well. These guys today were from the Interior Ministry, though. This is like the secret police and that gang.
Well, they were wearing those uniforms.
Yeah. And of course, I suppose anybody on any street corner in Baghdad probably has a connection to somebody who can make those.
Well, no, you have to make them. Don't you remember that story from probably July, an entire caravan full of uniforms was taken?
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
It was like, you know, three semi-tractor trucks loaded with uniforms.
Well, you know, this is a hell of our making that the Iraqis are suffering for. And, you know, it was, and that comes full circle back to the original point, Ben. Senators like Mitch McConnell and Trent Lott and Jeff Sessions and Richard Shelby and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Jim DeMint and Coburn of Oklahoma and Cornyn and Hutchinson of Texas and Talent of Missouri and all the other creep from Missouri, Sam Brownback and Pat Roberts from Kansas. The list seems endless. You know, I've got this map of the United States in here, and I can just rattle through them. Saxby Chambliss in Georgia, Mel Martinez, the new RNC chairman of Florida, Liddy Dole, North Carolina, all of these people. These are the people who caused what happened today.
It
wasn't somebody in the Interior Ministry. That was just primary stuff.
Without any doubt in my mind.
This is not just
appeasement of you know, colleagues who differ from us on minor philosophical points with whom we wish to work. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, that's the point I'm agreeing with.
There can be no appeasement with monsters. These people are monsters. These people are every bit the kind of monster that Mussolini was.
I agree.
Anyway, that's all I have to say. My dinner just dinged in the microwave here, so I'm going to go eat.
Well, bon appetit. Yum.
Later.
Bye. How do you reach across the aisle to someone who has enabled the death of 650,000 people? And I don't want to hear that, well, yeah, Democrats voted for the war, too. They voted to authorize the use of force. That was the resolution in the Congress. But there was a difference. Republicans were inside the loop. Democrats were kept out of the loop. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky knew what was going down. Mike DeWine and George Voinovich of Ohio knew what was going down. You see the distinction? And how do you work with these people? To the phones, our good friend Bob calls in from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I only got one thing to say to you.
Okay.
The most famous saying that ever came out of Vietnam, the most famous one that all your video watchers and your people that think they know about Vietnam can come up with, stupid is as stupid does. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's what they are. They're very stupid people, Bob. Yeah?
Yeah, and when you combine stupid with mean, you get a real problem.
Yeah, you get ugly. You get ugly then. You get ugly and stupid and mean, and it is a vicious dog, and the only thing you do with a vicious dog is put it down, and people, you got to put it down. Just put this thing away. It's of no use to the universe. It's of no use to God. It's of no use to me. And hey, Bob, I'm sure it's of no use to you. And to Ben there. Oh, Ben, you do great work. I love you, boy.
Well, I tell you what, Bob. You know, I don't know. I'm gonna have a real problem because I know it's coming, especially in the Senate. I know that because Joe Lieberman announced on Sunday that he will hold the entire Democratic majority hostage. I know that there's going to be outreach, and I know that there's going to be discussions of reaching consensus and plurality.
No, 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 No,
it's going to happen, Bob.
I know it's going to happen, but the thing is, you and I, okay, we brought this thing to fruition. We did. With our, with what we believe and what we fought for, and we will not let it go. You can't say, okay, Lieberman flipped sides. He was always a Republican. Lieberman was never a Democrat. He's like Kent Conrad of North Dakota. He's of no use to the Democratic Party. He is in the pocket of the big oil, big, you know, he's just that. He was that when I met him back in the 80s, before he was even elected to that office, okay?
Yeah.
And I knew it, and I told my friends, don't do it, okay? Get someone else. But he had clout within the Democratic Party in the state of North Dakota, and that's how Kent Conrad got there. But he's no Democrat.
Well, you know, I know, and we can go, we could make a list that was too long for my comfort of you know, these people that I call mugwumps.
Okay.
But
they're mugwumps. They're mugwumps, Bob. But hey, we the people, we just sent a message. Now it's time to hold the line. We will not back up. We will not quit, and we will not retire. We will stay the course. This is a course for the American Constitution, the United States of America, and the people of America, and that Constitution means more than you or I or our progeny. That means the future of the GD country, okay?
Yeah.
And it means the future of the world, too, because if we do not hold to our Constitution, how can you expect a country that has been invaded and been taken over by a bunch of Nazis to hold to a Constitution that we forced on them? Because when we went in there, we went in like Nazis with our blitzkrieg, what did they call it? Shock and awe.
Yeah.
Same difference. Shock and awe. Blitzkrieg. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lightning war.
A lightning war. That's what we took to the Iraqis, and they did not have it coming. So we have it coming now, Bob. The United States of America and the people thereof have it coming. Wherever it comes from, we deserve what we get. But if we cannot pull it together right now and say, today we no longer, we will fight no more forever, like Chief Joseph said, okay?
Yeah.
From this day, I will fight no more forever. And he whipped the United States Army so bad, and he ran them through the mountains, and he wore them out. And he says, today I will fight no more forever. And it's time for the United States of America to say, we will fight no more forever, and say that and mean it, and become Americans, become like the original Americans.
Well, there's a bit, you know, there's a big difference between fighting when someone has attacked you and invaded you. And
why do you think we're not winning in Iraq? We invaded them. We attacked them.
Right. Well, yeah. This look, you know, I can't begin to describe for you, Bob, the hell that I took. You know, as early as May of 2003, when I explained that no matter how often that goober said mission accomplished, the war was lost when we fired the first shot.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of like Vietnam. Everybody thinks they know about Vietnam. They didn't live it. I did. And many of my, you know, what do you call them? Comrades?
Comrades in arms?
Yeah. They lived it too. Some of them have gone political, okay? And they've gone for, you know, the glory or the money or whatever they went for. Some of us live the nightmare. We live it every day of our life. And sometimes, just once in a while, we would wish to whatever God you have in your back pocket you can't. You can't do it with drugs. You can't do it with therapy. You cannot stop the images. You cannot make us forget. And who's making these boys and girls from Iraq forget what they've seen and have had to do? No one. Everyone is so worried about whether they can get to the Walmart, the new Super Walmart, so they can get the falling prices. They don't care, Bob. It's the same thing we had back in the 60s. We came home from a war, and we saw everything is business as usual. It's the same thing. It's absolutely the same thing. The boys in Iraq, the only thing they don't have that we had in Vietnam, we had jungle. We had cover. We had trees. We had bushes. We had things we could jump behind. I mean, we had all kinds of foliage we could hide and shoot back at foliage we couldn't see our enemy from. But the boys in Iraq have what? Desert? A few palm trees?
Hard to hide behind sand.
Yeah, it's dang hard. And these boys are in a bad place. And these girls are dying, and these boys are dying for what? For your vanity? For your sense of honor? You have no honor if you're not there.
Well, see, one of the things that I find disturbing, Bob, is I don't know if we can even have that discussion. We are not allowed to ask why troops are dying, because if you ask that question, even in this political climate, the Democratic majority or no Democratic majority, if you ask that question in this political climate, Bob, you will be, oh, he don't like the troops. You know what? When someone has died in vain, it is necessary to say that they died in vain and say that we will promise you that not another single solitary member of this military, this underpaid, under-equipped, under-respected, under-supported military, will die in vain.
See? You understand something that you never had to do because you feel it in your heart and in your soul. You feel. You care. Okay? But these repiglitans, they don't feel. They don't think. They don't care about anyone else other than self, Bob. They don't think about anyone else. No one. It doesn't matter if it's Santa Claus. They think, hey, what's Santa Claus going to bring me? Okay? They don't care about the Easter Bunny. They're thinking about, hey, what's the Easter Bunny going to bring me? And that's what the Republicans think. They think of self first, no one else. There's a funny thing about us liberals. We worry about, hey, you know, other people. I met some gay folks some years ago, and they were, you know, nice gentlemen, and I was chatting with them, and this guy came up and said, hey, you know, those guys are, they're gay. I said, they're what? Well, they're gay. And I said, no, they're just guys. And he says, no, they're gay. And I said, well, hey, I didn't realize that there was something different about them because they talked to me just like I talked to you. You know, just, hey, if they were cordial and they were decent, and I thought, hey, okay, they're gay guys. Okay, that's fine. It didn't bother me because I wasn't threatened. They didn't try to, you know, take me into their closet or nothing like that. We just chatted. But they were, you know, at a motel, and my wife and my boy and I, we were at the same motel. I came out in the morning and we was going up to get that, continental breakfast thing, mm-hmm. with donuts and coffee and stuff like that. And I stopped. There was a guy sitting out there in the lawn chair, and I chatted with him, and a friend of his came out, and we chatted. And it was friendly. But there was nothing, you know, the overt. They didn't grab me, drag me in the room and do strange things to me. Nothing like that, Bob.
Nor did they probably want to.
I don't think so because, you know, I'm there with my wife and my son, and they probably, you know, and I asked them about the road conditions. They were going south and I was going north, and I asked them about the road conditions. Said, well, there's some construction here and stuff like that, you know. What you do with people when you meet them, you know, and the guy that when I went to check out, he says, well, hey, you know, those guys are gay. And I said, what? Well, the guys are
was talking to the Organian, I thought, you know, that's...
Did that change whether or not they knew the quality of the road up north?
No, it didn't stop anything. Bob, they were just decent human beings.
Right, but it's the bigotry of the guy who comes up and whispers, or the little old lady in the grocery store back before the election a week and a half ago who said...
The motel, Bob, the guy that took their money just as well as took my money. It was the guy that owned the motel. He rented these gay people a room, right?
Wow,
just like he rented me and my wife and my son a room. No difference. He took their money. But then in the morning when I, was going to check out after I, got continental breakfast, took it back to the room, coffee and milk and, some cereal and stuff for my boy, and I went up there to pay the bill, and he says, well, those guys you were talking to were gay. And I thought, there's something sick about you. And you know what? I've never gone back to that motel again.
Good.
And I wouldn't use them if they were the lowest price in town, like Walmart. I wouldn't use them.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're not worthy of a decent human being.
Maybe that's the standard, and I think you've put it very well, Bob. Maybe that's the standard that we have to start applying. I only do business with decent human beings. Of course, that's going to make business a little bit harder to do with corporate America.
Bob, you and Agnes are decent human beings. You know how I know it?
How's that?
You know how I know that you and Agnes are decent human beings? Because you talk like Glenda and I when we're alone. I mean, when I hear you on the air and I hear you and Agnes talking, you guys, you just are.
Oh, we're going to have a talk off the air about how funny she thinks it is that I got the senior citizen discount. You may rest assured.
Oh, well, hey, I deserve one.
You earned it.
But hey, I'm glad you got it because they don't give it to me because my hair is still black.
Yeah,
it's dark brown with some gray in it. But then
it's not my fault. I look like the cover of the Edgar Winter Group album.
I know why you do. You know why? You know why I know why you got that discount?
Why is it?
You work so hard, and you have worn yourself down so bad at the young age that you're at that you're probably looking older than I am right now. And you know what, son? I would love to sit down and buy you a cup of coffee and tell you, yes, we can win, and you can help us get there. But the thing is, we do it together, and we do it for everyone, all of the people, not just the poor or the rich or the weak or the infirm, but for all of the people, all of the time. That's what a liberal does.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part and parcel of this Michael Moore letter, that we will do it for America. We won't do it for ourselves or our crony groups. And I understand the thrust of that. But I've got a real, real bad attitude toward what these SOBs have done to my country, your country, our country, our children's country for the last 6 years. And I am not in a forgiving mood.
And I feed my German Shepherd puppy a pig with them every day.
Hey, Bob, I got to roll on because I got a couple more calls to hit before the top of the hour.
Good for you, and hey, love you much, and love to Agnes, and just keep on.
We're gonna take care, Bob.
Love you much.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
And to our good friend Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
You think you got it bad? We don't get a discount. My hubby's 83.
Okay, I shouldn't have griped. You guys must be looking good.
Actually, he looks like he's about 20 years younger than that.
See? Yeah. Me, I look like I saw the burning tree,
Well, the reason I called is about Lieberman.
Yes.
Now, let's just assume, that the dear boy follows his inherent nature and proceeds to caucus with the Republicans. Okay, fine. If he does that, how can he keep his seniority
They've promised him he'll keep his seniority.
As a Democrat?
No. He was elected as an independent. The Democrats promised him his seniority, but the Republicans have already reached out and said, you can keep your seniority with us, too.
Okay, in that case, I would suggest that, seniority or not, if he goes over to the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
the Democratic National Committee should maybe have a talk with the Democratic Committee in Connecticut and see about recall petition.
If they've got recall.
Seriously.
You know, recall is a strange animal. That's a state-by-state thing. We don't have recall here in West Virginia.
Oh, you poor baby.
There's a bunch of states that don't have it. There are a lot of weird little machinations that are going on back in the smoke-filled rooms over Joe Lieberman right now. Because one of the calculations that if he decides to caucus with the Repigs,
mm-hmm.
one of the calculations that he has to make is that he firmly believes that in 2008, now bear in mind, I mean, he's in office until 2012, but he has to be firmly convinced that in 2008 there will be a Republican landslide in the Senate. Because at that point in time, if he caucuses with the Republicans and the Democratic majority grows in 2008, then he loses everything. It is a question of machinations for short-term gain and an overt gamble as to whether or not there will be long-term gain. And see, even though I don't like him much, I can say with certainty that his environmental voting record is not going to sit well with the Republican Party.
Oh no,
because it was a decent record. I mean, somebody rated him voting 90%, had a 90% environmental voting record. But, you know, doing one thing right and doing nine things wrong, the one thing right doesn't balance at all.
Oh, guess what?
What's that?
I think they do.
Do they?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, but see, that would just be the whole Senate campaign fought all over again, Susan, because it's worth remembering, Lieberman, sad to say, was not elected by Democrats. Lieberman was elected by the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they hung their own candidate out to dry, that Schlesinger dude.
Yeah, I know, but if the Democratic Party, the National, proceeded to do exactly the same thing, say for Lamont, and said, okay, Lamont, you have the entire National Party behind you. What do you need?
Well, see, that's...
We'll give it to you.
That's the scary thing, Susan, and I'm not trying to be, you know, Mr. Negative or anything, but this, you know, we want to reach consensus. We want to reach across the aisle. We want to blah, 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 with that sickening crap that's just going to make me just...
Yeah.
Have to OD on my acid reflux medicine. We're gonna get a dose of that, and I have a feeling that rather than press the issue, and I can understand some of it, honest to God, I can. Rather than press that issue, Susan, they're going to be as conciliatory as possible. They are going to walk on eggshells. The Democratic caucus is going to walk on eggshells around Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman wants the Homeland Security Committee. Joe Lieberman gets the Homeland Security Committee. Joe Lieberman says that we can't filibuster the next freak that gets nominated to the Supreme Court. Or we don't have to filibuster anymore. We're in the majority. I don't know what I'm talking about. But Joe Lieberman says that we have to pass him out of the Judiciary Committee, even though he doesn't sit on it. By God, we have to pass him out of the Judiciary Committee.
Now, that's too much power for one man.
Yes, it is.
That's my problem with the whole thing. I would much rather lose the majority.
See, in a way, I almost wish... Nah, no, I don't. It's a pity, let me put it this way, it's a pity that there is not someone of similar caliber or in similar position on the Republican side so that we could be courting them.
Yeah.
But there's nobody in the Republican, Olympia Snow, Susan Collins from Maine, they're not going anywhere.
No.
They're not leaving the Republican Party. They're happy where they are. Who else? Find me a Republican senator that you think we could coax over to the Democratic side. You'll be looking for a long time and not finding.
The only way Snow would come over is if the Republicans did something incredibly stupid, and I don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They can't do it now, because the only thing that could possibly drive Snow or Collins over would be an outright criminalization of abortion, and that's the last thing the Republican Party is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Republican Party needs abortion more than anybody else in this country, because it's the one last thing that's bringing those 72% evangelical weirdos out of the closet to vote for the party. Remember, they're shock troops in the culture war.
Yeah, what I was thinking of was more along the lines of making them the scapegoat for the law, tidal wave.
Well, yeah, okay. You mean like what they did to Lincoln Chafee?
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, see, Lincoln Chafee got voted out.
Yeah, but if they turn around and try and do it to Snow, that would be incredibly stupid, and I can't really see them doing it.
Well, you know, so that leaves us in a very hairy, unpleasant little position for the foreseeable future.
But rather, honest to God, rather than give that man that amount of power, because in effect you would have an unelected president, I would rather give up the majority in the Senate. I really would. I would rather say, fine. You want to be with the Republicans, you do that, and then proceed to broadcast every little think thing he said to the entire nation.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that he can, you know, I hope that he decides to be an American first and Joe Lieberman second. But you know, this is the guy who created his own party, Connecticut for Lieberman. That's how he showed up on the ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of gross. Susan, we got to hit the news, but thank you so much.
You have a nice night, and don't feel too bad about the discount.
Well,
you saved some money.
I saved 5%, you know.
Don't knock it.
I'm not knocking.
Okay, good night.
Later. Bye now. News is next, as well as your thoughts, your phone calls to 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Most, if not all, hostages kidnapped today in a brazen attack on an educational facility in Baghdad have been freed. Over 100 male educators were seized today by gunmen wearing police uniforms. Universities across Iraq have been closed down. The district police chief and four of his top officers have been arrested. Elsewhere in Iraq today, at least 82 people were killed or found dead. The UN's nuclear watchdog has found traces of highly enriched uranium and plutonium in Iran. The report confirms the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the UN Security Council. In Gaza, Hamas indicated the new Palestinian unity government would not recognize Israel's right to exist or accept a two-party solution to the Middle East situation. This position is expected to hurt the chances of easing an 8-month Western economic boycott. In Florida, scandal-ridden Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff is enjoying his last night of freedom. Abramoff reports to federal prison tomorrow to serve at least 5 years for fraud and conspiracy. In Washington, a bipartisan group is suggesting the White House appoint Republican Iowa Congressman Jim Leach as U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Some analysts say the current U.N. ambassador, John Bolton, is expected to lose the seat he was appointed to by President Bush. At the Vatican, a top church official is criticizing the U.S.-Mexico border fence as, quote, inhuman, end quote. President Bush recently signed legislation to construct 700 miles of security fence along the nearly 2,100-mile U.S.-Mexico border.
In Washington, government officials say they'll start testing a revised version of the citizenship exam. The pilot version contains fewer memorized facts and more questions, testing an applicant's overall understanding of democracy. The new exam will be given to volunteers in select city, and a revised test will be given to applicants starting in 2008. In San Francisco, gay marriage advocates are taking their case to the California Supreme Court. And legislation aimed at normalizing trade relations with Vietnam failed in the House. President Bush leaves today for an 8-day trip to Asia. It will include his first ever trip to Vietnam, which hosts the Pacific Rim Economic Summit. Discussion topics include trade, terrorism, and the bird flu. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The most important report of its kind is being released this month by top international scientists studying global warming. The report says temperatures in oceans are rising at unprecedented rates and predicts a massive die-out of many species of birds, fish, and animals as a result. The study also proves conclusively human activity is to blame for global warming. Australian researchers have found the popular search engine Google can provide correct medical diagnoses from a list of symptoms more than half the time. The researchers suggest Google could be a reasonable support system for busy doctors. It is being hailed as the most important art discovery in a generation. Two lost paintings by Italian Renaissance master Fra Angelico were found behind a bedroom door in a small British house after the tenant died. The paintings are worth millions. Microsoft released its digital music player Zune today to compete with Apple's popular iPod. It retails for $250. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.42 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 86 points at 12,218. The NASDAQ was up 24 at 2430. The S&P 500 was up 9 points at 1393. Gold ended trading today at $622.50 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
There I am. There you are. And before we go back to the phones, a quick straighten-up from an email. I must, on this rarest of occasions, Bob, correct you. Repigs do not spend money like drunken sailors. See, I use that stupid little cliche, and I deserve straightening up for this. Drunken sailors are spending their own money, Bob. Money they worked for, possibly risking life and limb. Once out of money, they must be on duty yet again. Repigs spend money like drunken frat boys. Money they don't know the origin of. They are unaware of who died to produce it. Lastly, they know it will always come their way, so running out means nothing to them. Accountability, sure. Minor correction. Thank you. Then, you know, I had that coming. And there's so much truth in that. But that drunken sailor analogy has gained huge traction in the media, hither, thither, and yon. And it's really disrespectful. You tell me what you would do with a pocket full of money on shore leave after 6 months at sea. 6 months of enforced the good behavior. For those of you who are bookish types, and there are a lot of you out there, several months ago, well, over a year ago, I started going through the Patrick O'Brien seafaring series. What do they call it? Daggummit. Patrick, look it up. It's all about late 18th, early 19th British naval exploits. And it was, you know, historically very, very accurate. And you don't want to think about the life of an old English salt. You know, even the officer corps didn't have it so good. And God knows the people who were, you know, manning the rat lines and the masts and swabbing and so forth had it downright bad. So, you know, that is a rotten analogy. I don't know. You pull those wooden ships and iron men sail into port. You can understand some of the behavior that went on. And a lot of it's common, whether it be a French sailor, an Italian sailor, an English sailor, an American sailor, whatever. Things happen on the open. Things happen to your mind on the open seas. But let's go back to the phones. Our good friend Rick Goodner calls from Texas. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, old man, how are you doing?
Yeah, everybody wants to be part of the act now.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, geez, I must look like Professor Irwin Corey or something going to the grocery store. Oh, there.
Hey, it happened to me. Went up to see Star Wars once, my grandkid, and, you know, it was the first Star Wars, not the first three, but the last three.
Yeah.
So it was quite a few years ago, and the little girl behind the counter says, "And how many senior citizen tickets would you like?"
Hey, you know, I'm trying to come to terms with it, Rick. Take the discount and laugh.
Well, I didn't. I should have after I got away. I thought about it, and I really should have, but I didn't. Anyway, what y'all were talking about earlier, I can't hear y'all. They got mad at me after the election, and they cut me off.
Oh, no.
I can no longer pull you in.
What happened?
They really got upset that the loss happened, and they kind of cut my computer down and blocked you.
Oh, at work?
At work.
Okay, we're going. Okay, all right, Rick. That's a gauntlet thrown down. We're going to have to come up with a mirror sight.
I have done everything I can so far to cut through it, and I'm going to. I'm better than the IT guy here, so.
Oh, yeah, we got IT people that would put him to shame. So yeah.
I mean, he's the son of the CEO.
He's the son of something, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, couldn't get a job anyplace else, but, you know, totally repub, and they're kind of upset because they didn't quite make it. But that's fine. It makes me feel good. Things are doing some good.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But I did hear, I know you got an awful lot going. I'm not going to keep you too long.
That's okay. You take all the time you need.
I heard you talking about Lieberman going to the Republicans. Please, let him go to the Republicans. Let him. He needs to be what he is.
Yes. Well,
it won't bother me in the least.
Well, but it's gonna bother me when I forget who the right wing freak is that he's one of these guys that has the same first and last initial Herb Honker or something like that. He's a right wing yacker, and he said, "Well, you know, we've got to look for the silver linings in the darkest of clouds. Well, the good thing about Rick Santorum being out of the Senate is he can be on the Supreme Court now."
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Hewitt, that's who it was. Hugh Hewitt.
He was Hewitt, yeah.
You know, the idea of a 50-50 split and Dick Cheney standing up there going, "I cast my vote for Rick Santorum." Yeah, that's enough to put me off the kibble for a couple of weeks, Rick.
Let's be realistic, though. He's going to vote Republican. I don't care what he has behind his name. He's going to vote Republican.
Well, he is going to do that, but he doesn't sit on the Intelligence Committee.
True. Okay, you got me on that.
So you know, it's the difference between Arlen Specter, who talks that really good game and then never plays it, and, you know, any goober that gets nominated gets out of committee, and Pat Leahy of Vermont, who has been known to actually stand up and fight once in a while. So, you know.
I have a lot of, I hope, a whole lot of fighting. I did want to do some crowing.
Okay.
Remember we were talking, I guess I should have saved this for Wednesday, but there's no guarantee that it would be a calm night like it is tonight. I only have one suicide tonight, not too bad.
I don't want your job, Rick.
I wouldn't take for it. I love it. I love it. You wouldn't believe how much I love it. We were talking about the right-wing Christian, and I kind of got a few people up in arms because I said, forget them. Don't waste time with them. They're of no importance whatsoever. I got the numbers in.
Yeah.
In 04, 71% of them voted.
Yep.
In 06, 72% of them voted.
Tells you something, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? And they voted Republican. See?
Yeah.
We needed to put our effort, and we put our effort, and it worked. They are of no importance whatsoever.
Well, and you know, it's like I've described them as a hardcore cancerous little knot, and they really are that.
Yeah.
If the rest of the American body politic rejects the cancer doesn't have a chance. And they are. They're cancerous. They're poisonous. You know, the story that I had last night, Rick, about the one minister who came out and said, oh, we've known that Reverend Ted was gay for a long time. We just didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they knew he was gay, and yet they didn't care enough about him to at least, you know, never mind doing something about him being gay. You can't do anything about how somebody has sex, but you can do something about the potential of them ruining their lives, you know, honking down boatloads of meth.
Yeah,
you know, if I know someone and care about them and find out that they're on the pipe or whatever, I'm going to try to see what I can do to engage in an intervention.
Absolutely.
They didn't care enough about him to stop that.
If it's true, I mean, right now you have these same goobers out there talking about, yeah, well, we wanted the Democrats to win, we voted Democrats. Well, that's a lie. The exit poll shows that it's a lie. They can't afford to lose. They can't accept being behind. I think they just make the stuff up as they go. I know good and well that Follow Me to Hell and Robertson was telling his people to get out and vote Republican.
Sure.
I know that 1% more voted than they did last time. The exit polls say for sure that they voted, you know, Republican. And now that they didn't have any effect, suddenly they didn't do it. They just went and voted Democrat. Imagine that.
No.
There's no way in the world you can convince me that those...
No. This election was a progressive victory. It was a liberal victory. You know, I don't even buy into this hogwash about how the centrists and the moderates... Yeah, the centrists and moderates can't figure out which shoe to tie first, let alone make it all the way to the polls, Rick.
And you know what the problem with that is? The real problem is, if we let that go, then it's going to look like, okay, yeah, sooner or later they're going to start thinking they won this. And we're going to start losing heart. We're going to start voting.
Well, yeah,
the fact of the matter is they have nothing. They didn't win anything, and they have nothing to say with what we do.
Well, look at the difference of how the media has treated it. Time magazine back in 1994, when the Republicans took the Congress, they had this big splashy cover that had an elephant stomping the guts out of a donkey on it. Okay, and it was a revolution. And so after this past Tuesday, what's the cover? America moves to the center.
To the center. Oh.
Crap. Yeah, yep. Exactly. And you know, Sherrod Brown, not a centrist. Beat Mike DeWine in Ohio. Who else? John Tester, Montana.
Right.
You know, what is he, 6'8" with a flat top haircut? Boy, I mean, that just says America, doesn't it?
And an organic farmer.
An organic farmer. I don't think you're an organic farmer and a committed centrist or a committed conservative if you're organic farming.
But if we let them get away with this lie, they're going to win. We have to keep calling them on it.
And we can't get too awful proud about having won.
Oh, no. No, we need to start doing a lot of crowing about that. My God, we did win because we fought.
Yeah.
We organized.
And it's time, and now we start working on the next victory.
Absolutely. Now, one little problem with, you know, I do want the impeachment to ago. Now, I know there's talk about, you know, you have to do this and have to do that. Fine, I have no problem with that. But here's my issue. If they impeach Cheney first, Bush will appoint somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will take over after Bush is gone. They both have to go at the very same moment.
Oh, I think it has to be a twofer. But if you tell me that I can only have one or the other, I've put a lot of thought into this, Rick, and I've come to the conclusion that if I can only have one or the other, I want Cheney out of there. Because that will leave Georgia. If you take Cheney and if you take Rumsfeld and if you slowly pick off the and remove from power the people around him, he really will become the post turtle that we know he is.
Absolutely. And well, of course, his daddy's going to come save him by putting his old people around him right now.
My God, that Newsweek cover! Did you see that?
I love it. I love it. Big, you know, bitty little Bush.
Yeah, little bitty fella. You know, and not looking any too impressive.
Don't you know he really went home and beat his wife that night? Sorry.
Drove the no. Hey, look, it was a Texas news story. You know, drove the congressional campaign. Laura criticized the speech, and he drove the car straight through the plate glass window.
He could not take that. He's always been in a battle with his father, and that right now it's looking like his father's winning. He's going to do something major, and he is going to make a major blunder. I'm waiting for it. I know it's going to happen, but he's going to try to assert himself.
Well, see, that's why stories like what we had on the top of the hour news a few moments ago, Rick, odd traces of radioactive isotopes that shouldn't be where they are have been discovered in Iran.
Ooh.
You know, and that's the, you know, and it just sort of, it's a trickle into the media, and the next thing you know, Stone Phillips is doing an expose, or maybe it's John Stossel. Meanwhile, there's perfectly legitimate evidence of radioactive material in a crater, an Israeli bomb crater in Lebanon, that you can't get reportage on. You know, just bizarre stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's something coming. There's something cooking.
He's going to have to beat Daddy, and it's probably going to be on his way out, but he's going to have to. But if we don't do it two-for, if we don't do it all together, and Bush has a chance for Cheney to go first, he is going to appoint somebody, and that means the Democrats are not going to move into this place. Pelosi will not move in to the presidency. They have to go at the same time, and you can't let one quit before the other, because Cheney will quit just so that Bush can appoint somebody else. I remember the Nixon thing.
Well, yeah, that's the Agnew defense. That's absolutely how you get Gerald Ford.
Absolutely. They got rid of Agnew and then started in on Bush, and that was a bad mistake. I mean, it's almost the same thing. And it was their bad mistake. When they went Agnew first and then Bush, they ended up with Ford. He's going to appoint somebody.
And our long national nightmare is finally over.
Yeah, well, until Bushy got in there. Yeah. Also, look at their faces. Every single one of them, even the people on Fox News, psychologically, I can tell you, you are seeing fear. They are scared to death. Fox is scared to death. Bush is scared to death.
Well, Fox's ratings are going through the floor.
Imagine. You have Rummy. He is going to end up in court in Germany. Someone is going to kidnap him. He is going to be taken over. And you know good and well that Cheney and Bush are going to be indicted now. This is just wonderful, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's one of those things. I was thinking about it this evening on the way up to get my senior citizen discount.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those, you know, where were you when the meltdown started?
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that you tell your grandkids. This is the kind of stuff that you tell your kids when they grow up. You know, I was there that night when I pick out one of the latest weirdnesses. You know, where were you when it came out that Ted Haggard was into meth and big beefy guy massagers? Where were you when Dear Leader said he would help Nancy Pelosi pick out drapes?
Mm-hmm. And where were you when you first saw the fear on their face?
Yeah,
that fear is real. Bush is scared to death of impeachment.
We've seen the reds of their eyes, Rick.
Uh-huh. We have. I'm sorry that I'm gloating. I'm sorry that I'm enjoying this.
You're allowed to.
I have been kicked around by Republicans for the last 6 years. You have been kicked at, and everybody else has. It's time for us to gloat. It's time for us to be loud. And you may get someone to come and fix your computer so you can't get Bob Kincaid anymore. But
bastards.
I know. I'm loud, though. I just don't give them any quarter.
We're going to find a way around this, Rick. I can't stand this.
Well, I got a laptop. I went down and bought one, and I'm going to go ahead and get the little card so I can pull it in them independently.
Sounds good. I hope you will. If you need any help, give a shout.
We'll give it. Don't let you go. No, you're a busy old man.
Man, you're working it.
Well, I don't want you to forget it, and I know what it's like after you get so such an age and everything. You get real sleepy. You have to sleep all the time. You get forgetful. I'm just kind of reiterating it. Oh, kind of catapulting the propaganda.
We'll talk to you later, Rick.
God bless you, my friend.
Give them hell.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And on to our, let's go. One good Rick deserves another. Our good friend Rick in Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Bob, don't worry about a thing.
Okay.
Seriously, I have it on a good authority from a very good, what you would call a right winger. But he's a Republican, and he's a very staunch constitutionalist. And if Lieberman decided to cross, he's going to cross. And he's going to do it because he doesn't believe in what Lieberman's doing. And this man is a senator.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he swore to me that he would not let that stand.
Okay, this you're driving me crazy.
I can't tell you.
Hint?
No. No, can't.
20 questions?
No, I can't.
Bigger than a bread box? Smaller than a camel?
Honestly, Bob, this is for real.
No, I know. It's just my native curiosity.
I know, but I can't. Because he asked me not to. But because he has to work inside this party until this Congress is over with. And I'm telling you, this guy, he is a constitutionalist, and he believes 110% in what's right and what's wrong. And he's not going to go that way. He won't. And he will walk across the minute that Lieberman decides to pose the game. As a matter of fact, he told me that we should call his bluff because he says Lieberman is bluffing because he sat in on some meetings and he knows he's bluffing. He's not going to move unless he turns out not to get his chairmanship. And so if he does get his chairmanship of what they're offering him of
Homeland Security,
then the thing that this guy's worried about is like it's like a deep throat for the Mossad from Israel. And he's very concerned about it. He's very concerned about how Lieberman is so wrapped up in this neocon Mossad Israeli movement that he has a lot of problems with it.
Well, see, I've said all along, Rick, and taken a little heat via email for it, that one of the problems with Joe Lieberman is that he is a racist and a bigot.
Yeah. Well, he is in the sense...
Well, he is in the sense that he does not... That you can't kill enough Arabs to suit Joe Lieberman.
Exactly. And he's a... I mean, I hate to say this because it's going to make me sound like a right-wing wacko, but, I mean, the truth of the matter is that this guy, Lieberman, is... He cares more about what happens in Israel than in the United States. And if you give him, and this is what this guy was talking about, if you give him the Homeland Security thing, it's a deep throat for the Mossad to come into control policy once again, which will keep us in the Middle East having all these terrible policies that everybody knows is, they got all of these things that they want to do, to control or kill or whatever,
But it, in this country, it's all about oil, and if they would just let them sell it at the going rate and have their policies get out of the Middle East and let all these people take over, like Iraqi people take over, and what would happen is that you would create a free market system. And this guy's a free market Republican, and he hates it. He freaking hates how what's happening is turning the Middle East into a price control situation, capping the oil wells or not letting the oil get out because of all these, you know, these stupid attacks on it. And he just wants to have the Middle East become their own broker of fuel. This guy's a brilliant man. And I honestly think that he's telling the truth. And he recommends that we call Lieberman on his bluff so that he'll go over to the other side, and he swears he'll come over to our side and wash it out. And I think we should do it. I think the Democrats should call his bluff because he ain't got nothing going on, because everybody knows he's part of the old way.
Well, see, you know, you make me think about some other things, Rick. It was Richard Shelby of Alabama was elected to the United States Senate as a Democrat. It was the morning after the Republican Revolution in 1994, or shortly thereafter, that he decided, you know, my values are really with the Republican Party. And, you know, this may piss some people off, but, you know, I feel like saying, you know, okay, you know, look, yeah, Richard, we saw what you did. Time to come back. You know, I want to build this majority however we can build it.
Well, I'm not going to give you anything.
No. I don't want you to. But the other thing that's worth considering, Rick, is that I am absolutely more than happy to give Joe Lieberman the Homeland Security chairmanship.
Oh, I'm not.
No. Wait.
Why? Why would you want to be that way?
Because this is all part of a larger piece. Because I want to go back and revisit the whole Homeland Security enabling legislation and tear it down.
Well, yeah, but
you know, if he wants to be chairman of the rowboat committee, that's fine.
No, wait. Because here's where I disagree with you. Because a lot of people die in the process. A lot of Iraqis die. A lot of people in the Middle East as a whole die, and a lot of our soldiers die. I just can't see proving a point that way.
I'm not trying to prove a point. I want to tear apart the Homeland Security Department because it doesn't need to exist.
Well, of course it doesn't need to exist. We both agree on that. But you can't get there from there. You can't get there from there because the American public is sold on it. They've been sold on it for the last 4 or 5 years. What you've got to do is prove that it's corrupt. And the best way to prove that it's corrupt is to not let that son of a bitch, Lieberman, excuse me, I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But not, you know.
We'll give you one SOB per night.
Let him buy for it, because that's what he cares about so much, because I swear to you, that is the way to control the Middle East through the Mossad. I mean, we have a whole alma mater that has sailed to Iran under the instructions set of George Bush and Cheney and Lieberman to go over there and create war with Iran. There's so many aircraft carriers. People don't know about them. And there's so many other countries involved. There's an alma mater involved in this attack that's getting ready to go against Iran.
Oh, they are there.
Yeah, they're from Sweden. They're from everywhere. They're from Canada. Everybody's been forced into this thing to try to create this World War III environment to stamp out Iran, and it all is hinging on whether this guy, Lieberman, controls the pawn. You know what I mean?
I do understand some of that. I'll be honest. I get a little hinky when the Mossad card is played.
Well, that's because you just don't want to believe that Mossad's involved.
Well, I'll grant you that. I don't want to believe anything, Rick. I want to know things.
All right. Here's how you know, okay?
these people were the very same people that when the trade centers fell down were captured in, I think it was New Jersey or whatever, filming, videotaping, when it went down.
I remember that story. Was it ever verified?
Yes, it was verified. It was absolutely true. You can see the arrest records if you look it up. They were actually arrested and detained by the police, okay? And the film was captured. They saw it. They were asking what it was all about. And then all of a sudden, they got cut loose.
Well, we had it. We had something happen similarly, and I can't remember the particulars. One of my West Virginia listeners might be able to help. We had Israeli agents detained in West Virginia.
Okay.
It was either West Virginia or North Carolina somewhere.
Not familiar with that.
Who were transporting something bizarre. I can't remember what. I know the secret services of various and sundry foreign countries and our own secret services do weird, squirrely, evil things.
Well, yes, they do, and they're all interoperative. I mean, for Pete's sake, take a look at the Downing Street memo.
The Pakistani ISI comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, are you kidding me? When you're talking about picking up Padilla for a dirty bomb, and then all of a sudden they start letting their number one provocateur of all these dirty bomb or nuclear energy techniques turn around and go free at nearly the same damn time. I mean, you have to get to the point where you start going like,
there's
a conspiracy. There is a collusion.
Well, you know, there are things out there that there are on its face admissions by Israel with regard to its conduct of its war against the people of Lebanon, that at first they denied, and then they came around and admitted. Now this thing that I was alerted to it from a posting over at democraticwarrior.com, it's at globalresearch.ca. And it has to do with, I mentioned this a little earlier, the Qayyam Southern Lebanon bomb crater. And the headline of this thing is, Israel detonated a radioactive bunker buster bomb in Lebanon. And I mean, it looks, you know, again, it needs to be researched. It needs real journalism done on it.
But when you don't have a media that's cooperating with you, and they're cooperating with the present administration or Disney, or the weapons manufacturers, you're not going to get there from here, and you're going to have to start taking a few things on faith.
I don't do faith, Rick.
Well, you got to do some things on faith, and then just flesh it out for yourself, and you'll find it. You will find it. But the reason why I called tonight is there is a Republican that is willing to cross the line if Lieberman pulls a dirty trick, a really good staunch Republican, okay?
Yeah.
This guy made his bones, and he will not accept that dirty trick. He is a constitutionalist, and he is ready to walk. That's the reason why I called.
Okay, well, I find that very interesting. Now I'm going to have to pore over my list and my list of Republican senators and try to narrow it down. And I bet you there's a whole bunch of other people doing the same thing, Rick.
Well, I hope so, but don't expose them. If you guys expose them, we're going to lose this. We're going to lose this because he has a tenuous position. And he is ready to, you know, I'm trying to do something good for America. And if you guys all start crawling on this guy.
I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to figure out who it is.
Well, all right then. But you guys.
If I figure out who it is, I'll put my best guess in an envelope and date it and write the date across the back or something equally, you know.
All right. But all the bloggers stay off this. Let this man work. He is for the Constitution. He's not for us. He's for the Constitution, and he will not stand for it.
Well, the easier list is who that couldn't possibly be.
Yeah, well, but just leave him alone. Let him do his work.
Okay.
All I was trying to do is offer hope.
Well, good. I'm glad to know that chess move is there.
That it is there, and all he's saying is send him onward. That's all he's saying. Send him, call his bluff. And I will counteract his move. I know who he is. I've talked to him three times. He's a good man.
All right.
Okay?
We'll wait and see.
All righty.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, same here.
Take care.
Good talking.
Always a pleasure. Bye now. 22 minutes before the hour. All of this works together. I want to give you a little bit more of the detail on this this Lebanese bomb crater. This is very disturbing. Again, it was a bomb that was dropped on a village called Khayyam. I assume I am correctly pronouncing it, Khiam, Lebanon, southern Lebanon. And there were radioactivity measurements in the crater. Two Lebanese professors of physics gathered the data. The data indicated that there were, I'm going to need a physicist to help me with this. The data indicated 700 nanosieverts per hour, remarkably higher radioactivity than the average in the area. Beirut equals 35 nanosieverts per hour as compared to 700 in the crater. September 17th, the physicists took British researcher Di Williams from the environmentalist organization called Green Audit. Maybe some of our UK listeners can tell me whether that's a legitimate organization. To the same site, Di Williams took samples. They were submitted to a guy named Chris Busby, technical advisor to the Supervisory Committee on Depleted Uranium. This could all be poppycock, but I'm sharing this with you because, by God, nobody else is. And frankly, if the Israelis nuked Lebanon, it deserves to be known. Chris Busby got the samples and gave it to the Supervisory Committee on Depleted Uranium, which reports to the British Ministry of Defense. The samples were also tested by Harwell's Nuclear Laboratory, supposedly one of the most authoritative research centers in the world. And then on October 17th, Harwell disclosed the testing results. 2 samples in 10 did contain radioactive material. Then on November 2nd, another British lab by name the School of Oceanographic Sciences confirmed the Harwell results. The Khayyam crater contains slightly enriched uranium. The samples were also taken for testing by the Department of Earth Sciences at the University of Ferrara, Italy, I do believe. And the testing is ongoing, and it has found already what is called an anomalous structure. Surface samples include aluminum and iron silicates, which one would expect to see in a soil fragment, and then looking further inside the crater, extremely small bubbles are found with high concentrations of iron. Further testing is ongoing to determine whether or not these were caused by a natural process. Southern Lebanon has uranium? Enriched uranium naturally occurring? That's going to be a surprise. Where is the mainstream media? Why was there, on a separate topic, why was there little more than a passing reference in the news yesterday? This is a story from the Associated Press. It doesn't even take up a full page. Immigrants arrested in the United States may be held indefinitely on suspicion of terrorism and may not challenge their imprisonment in civilian courts, the Bush administration said yesterday. Court documents filed with the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. The Justice Department claimed the new torture bill also applies to foreigners captured and held in the United States. The case centers around one Ali Saleh Kala Almari, a citizen of Qatar, who was arrested in 2001 while studying in the United States. He was labeled an enemy combatant. And because of the torture bill signed last month and supported by my senator, Jay Rockefeller, and 13 other Democrats, including Joe Lieberman, that law strips foreigners of the right to challenge their detention in federal courts. But the thing is, this is dishonest journalism. It says it strips foreigners of their right to challenge. You do the work. You go have the headache that I had. Go read the damn bill. Read the law. It is law now. That uses phrases like any person. Not any foreigner. Not any foreign national. Not any alien. No. It says any person. Not any non-citizen. Any person. Go read the indefinite detention segment that relates to being held indefinitely without recourse to counsel, family, friends, or any other human contact until such time as you are determined not to be an alien. Go read it. Don't take my word for it. This is the kind of stuff you have to know under your own skin. So this is dishonest journalism. It says, strips foreigners of their right to challenge their detention. Baby, this article is by Matt Apuzzo. What Matt Apuzzo doesn't understand is that this law, by God, strips Matt Apuzzo of the right to challenge his detention in federal courts on nothing more than the stroke of a semi-literate president's pen. You know, that story goes hand in hand with a story out of the Chicago Tribune. No, I'm sorry, the Chicago Sun-Times. Headline, lawyers may lose access to Gitmo inmates. New law stops challenges in civilian courts. This was from late last week. Guantanamo Bay prisoners could soon lose access to their lawyers, one of their only contacts with the outside world, because of a new law that eliminates their right to challenge their detention in civilian courts, the lawyers fear. These are the lawyers who were appointed to represent these people, or perhaps hired. And your country is trying to say to these lawyers, you no longer have a client. You no longer have a human being. This person is dead to you. This person does not exist. They have no right to your counsel, nor do you, to represent them. For now, Guantanamo officials are holding off on restricting lawyers' access to the U.S. base, Navy Commander Robert Durand said. Lawyers say doing so will further shroud the detention center in secrecy and could invite abuses. If attorneys were kept from visiting Guantanamo, the only information regarding conditions there would be provided by the government. By the way, they seek to shut off Red Cross access to Guantanamo, the Bush administration does. All access. How are you going to know whether it's Arab tourists in Guantanamo if no one can verify who's in Guantanamo? How are you going to know that it wasn't some, how did Michael Chertoff put it, radicalized American? How will you know? You won't know. And another story that I had in the list for yesterday that, frankly, I did not get to. Senator Pat Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, incoming chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says that he will try to restore the rights of foreign detainees to habeas corpus relief. And that's the way it was written. And you know what? Letting that story out that way is a guaranteed winner for the Ripigs.
Oh, look at that communist. Look at Pat Leahy. No wonder our good godly vice president told him what he told him on the floor of the Senate, told him to off. He's a appeaser of the terrorists. He's trying to give them rights that only Americans can have. That habeas corpus law. That's how that shakes out.
Senator Leahy needs to, and I'm sure he does, but someone needs to help Senator Leahy make clear that when he says that he is going after the torture bill, that he is trying to restore the habeas corpus rights of all people. The habeas corpus rights of, a right-wing freeper from Woodland Hills, California. You know what? Frankly, if that guy keeled over dead tomorrow, it wouldn't matter to me 10 cents worth. Chad Castanaga. Sending threatening white powder envelopes to David Letterman and Keith Olbermann and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Runt face, impeach this, he said to Nancy Pelosi. He said to John Stewart, go pluck your wife, in that letter. But you know what? Chad Castanaga has the right to challenge his imprisonment by virtue of habeas corpus, or he did. What I want to know, and I want an honest-to-God answer to, I want to know why Chad Castanaga has not been charged as an enemy combatant. You know, I said it when this law was being considered. I said it when this law was passed. I said it when this law was signed into effect, that the right-wingers might well consider the long-term consequences of such a law. Because swords frequently have double edges. This man attempted to terrorize not just Keith Olbermann, not just David Letterman, not just John Stewart. I don't think these men are easily terrifiable. He was trying to create the impression that there was another anthrax attack underway in this country, and thereby not just to terrorize those people, but to terrorize every liberal, every progressive, every Democrat in this nation. Why, then, has Chad Castanaga not been charged as an enemy combatant? Why does Chad Castanaga have access to a lawyer? Why is he being held in a civilian prison instead of some military brig, or better yet, Guantanamo? Why? Because he's a right-winger. He's a misguided ripig. He shouldn't have done that. But I'm sure, just as John Cornyn stood up in the well of the Senate and said that while he didn't approve of killing judges, he certainly understood the impetus that made people want to do so, the right, upright, honorable, decent, God-fearing Senator John Cornyn of Texas said that. So too does the Bush administration not endorse the actions of the likes of Chad Castanaga, but they certainly understand the feelings that drive them to do what they do. It's an easy enough inquiry. Ask yourself, if I went to the post office and I bought a $15 money order to send a campaign contribution to Catherine Harris, and at the same time bought me some other mailers, and went home and put together a threatening letter to Tom DeLay, and I dumped in some cornstarch or some baking soda. I think Chad was said to have used boric acid. if you did that, where would you be? Would you have access to a lawyer? Or would you have been determined by the executive to be an enemy combatant and hustled off to some silent brig where no one would know your very existence? You know the answer to that inquiry. The answer is that yes, you would have been hauled off in the middle of the night. And you would have been, this law would have been used against you, and you would have been tried as an enemy combatant. And you would have no lawyer. And you would face the death penalty all alone in a trumped-up kangaroo court. You know that's true. Email here from our good friend Billy Shears. He says, I'm totally in your camp about the Michael Moore thing. For Christ's sake, the entire 8 years of Clinton and from day one of Bush stealing the 2000 elections, these mean-ass Republicans put this country through hell. So I say, hell no, I ain't turning the other cheek. It's our turn. Let's get them. The Republicans, that is. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Laws have to be made for the good of the entire country. But there is a far cry's difference between making laws for the good of the entire country and openly appeasing a bunch of people who hate us, who hate the freedoms contained in the Bill of Rights, who think that torture bills that eliminate the single most critical linchpin of all democratic freedom, habeas corpus, is an acceptable response to 15 Saudis with box cutters. Imagine that, a willingness to shred an entire brilliant legal document, social contract, call it what you will, an utter willingness to destroy it all over 4 plane crashes. They were plane crashes. They were hijackings. That is where we are. And the people that would shred the Constitution will sit and say that they deserve as much as anyone else. And they do not. They do not deserve our goodwill. They do not deserve our credibility. They do not deserve our respect. If the right-wing religion industry evangelicals want to roll on the floor and froth at the mouth, they are free under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America to, by God, do so. But they are not entitled to your respect, your goodwill, or mine. At least that's how I see it. And I suspect you may very well, too. That's the show for tonight. I hope you'll join us tomorrow night for our prayer meeting edition. Got some good stories. One about an organization called Quiverful. Might want to read up on this gang. Oh, they're pros. The program tonight was produced by my lovely, talented, devoted, dedicated, brilliant, and incredibly not feeling very good codeine-loaded wife, Agnes. I got shushed. It was engineered by John Fox, announced by Brian Reznor. All the streaming and podcasting and archiving is maintained by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, Ben never sends a bill. He relies on you to know what to do. Our IT professional is Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida. We appreciate all of his efforts. We have wonderful moderators and a couple of great news ninjas at headonradionetwork.com. If you've never been to the chat room, check out the chat room. Post on the blog, for God's sakes. That's what it's there for. All of the programs of the Horn happen because there are several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters who get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream. And in building the American dream and supporting this network, they're trying to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR It's all for you.
Is caving to Tehran's nuclear demands. The International Atomic Energy Agency has found traces of highly enriched uranium waste and unexplained plutonium in Iran. The IAEA report confirms that the country continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the United Nations Security Council. Up to 130 people, mostly educators, were kidnapped from a government research institute in Baghdad by armed men wearing police uniforms today. Five senior Iraqi police officers are implicated in the kidnapping and face discipline charges. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 82 people were found killed or dead. British Prime Minister Tony Blair spoke with members of the Iraq Study Group today via video link. The bipartisan group met with President Bush yesterday to discuss how to deal with the situation in Iraq. In Gaza, Hamas indicated the new Palestinian unity government would not recognize Israel's right to exist or accept a two-party solution to the Middle East situation. This position hurts the chances of easing an eight-month Western economic boycott. In Afghanistan, U.S. military sources say a senior al-Qaeda leader who escaped from prison last year has been recaptured. Senate Democrats have chosen their party leaders. Nevada Senator Harry Reid will be the new majority leader of the 110th Congress. The number two position majority whip will go to Illinois Senator Richard Durbin. Newly elected lawmakers, 40 Democrats and 11 Republicans who will be part of the 110th Congress, are going through freshman orientation at the Capitol today. They are learning about traditions and protocol, as well as emergency safety procedures, such as how to evacuate in case of a biochemical attack. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has filed papers towards a 2008 presidential run. The moderate Republican was mayor when the September 11th attacks occurred. A top Vatican official is criticizing the U.S.-Mexico border fence as, quote, inhuman. President Bush recently